This is a FUBAR Radio podcast. You can subscribe to the app on Apple and Android. Visit FUBARradio.com for more details. FUBAR!
And welcome to our show. I'm Richard Herring. Who are you?
Hi, I'm Lou Sanders.
Oh, that's good. We are Richard Herring and Lou Sanders.
That's right, yeah.
Never knowingly undersold. And this is our show. Here comes our first record we're ever going to play. And it's funny because it's called Ready to Start. So that is a good thing because are we ready to start?
I'm ready. Don't you want to do the countdown thing that you like to do?
I'm not going to. We've got plenty of time to fill. We're coming up with loads of old rubbish that we've made up. It's our first day though,
sure.
Lou. So you know we're allowed to make mistakes, and I'm sure.
And we've got 16 jingles.
Have we? I can't wait to play them all. Here we go.
FUBAR. Radio worth paying for.
That's an official jingle. Lou has made some jingles that we'll be hearing later.
They're never so busy.
And I've written some jingles that aren't ready yet that I'm very pleased with.
Is that what you're saying?
Well, I don't know about that. That one I liked was Rich Tang and Lou Sanders ripping you a new ear hole.
I'm
looking forward to hearing that. Because it's like arsehole, but then it turns out it's an ear hole because it's radio.
That's very clever.
Have three ear holes and then you'll be able to hear us a bit more than you were be able to before.
I worry about that one. It's so clever it might go over people's heads.
It might do. That's why I thought I'd explain it just there. So this is our show. I'm Rich Herring. I'm a comedian and blogger and podcaster. I think they know
who you are, Richard.
I don't think they do. And you're Lou Sanders. Who are you? Who the hell are you?
I'm a dancer. I'm a lover.
Yeah.
I'm an international heartthrob.
Oh, that's good. Mm. I'm glad we got you on. Mm.
Thanks.
I'm a lover, not a fighter, and I'm not much of a lover. But I'm an even worse fighter.
Yeah. I heard it was sort of similar to your fighting style.
Yeah, it's very similar.
Really dangerous.
I have had one fight, and it was actually quite similar, and I think the man might have come, which is actually better than my love technique. So that's the kind of thing it's going. It is our first day. I think we should point that out. So I'm in charge of the desk, I think it's called. I'm driving the desk. And I can't even drive.
At his age.
So we are. This is the first time anyone's entrusted me with this, so there will be some mistakes. So for today, and I think probably for most of the time we're on, I've got this jingle you've made, Lou.
Hey, it's just our first day. In my head, that was better.
We're covered. If anything goes wrong, bang, we just go into that. I think we'll be using that. I think the number 14 on my dial here will be heavily worn. And so we've got stuff we've got coming up. A lot of these are Lou's ideas, so I don't even know what they're going to be. What's in the bag? We might do that first.
Sure.
But we won't do it yet. But that's coming up. What's in the bag?
Have you got a bag? Yeah.
It's all ready to go.
Yeah.
We've got Lou's house. We've got my blog, Dickie's Diary, you've called that, which I'm not entirely happy about. I knew you weren't happy about that one.
You said you didn't like the jingle. I couldn't work out why, and I thought that must be it.
It's partly that. I'm doing a bit of meaning of life. I'm trying to find the meaning of life during this show. We've got a guest coming up for the second hour.
That sounds nice.
That's how DJs talk.
Yeah.
Danielle Ward.
Oh, nice.
You know Danielle, don't you?
She's a good one, yeah.
She writes plays and musicals, and she's been acting in New York, and she's a stand-up comedian and does podcasts.
She's multi-talented, actually.
She is quite multi-talented. Yeah. She hasn't got all the talents.
No.
But you don't need all of them. That would be omni-talented, wouldn't it, I suppose?
Yeah.
So she is multi-talented. She's got more than one talent, which is probably one more than us two put together. Guess Who Said What They Said is coming up. I'm looking forward to that.
What did they say? Who said what and who are they?
You'll all be doing it in the playground tomorrow. Take a book. If you want to get in touch with the show, you can tweet us. I'm at Herring1967. This is the year of my birth. What's your Twitter handle?
At Lily Sanders. At Lou Sanders.
Don't just give a wrong one.
I'm so used to calling myself Luli.
At Lou Sanders. Lousanders.
Yeah.
Like Colonel Sanders.
You know.
Any relation to Colonel Sanders?
I told people that once and they believe me. Fools. No.
Get free chicken. You should go into KFC and say, you know, my name's Lou Sanders.
That would be a smashing idea if I wasn't a vegetarian.
Have a little beard. I mean, you can get chicken for people who aren't vegetarian.
Sure.
Stop being so selfish.
Sure, okay.
All you care about is yourself and animals.
I'll write it down as an idea.
Okay, we can try that. And you can email the show at herring@fubarradio.com. FUBAR. radio.com, and we'll give some. There'll be some phone-in things coming up from the show. You can phone in and join in if you like.
Why not? Maybe.
And it's exciting because it's the internet and it's not going out through the radio. We can say what we want. I'm going to say Willy's later on. Oh. I've got that planned.
I write a list of swears.
We'll find out what any good swears you're looking forward to using.
Scrotum. Bottom.
Bottom.
Penis and vagina.
These are quite medical terms. I think you can probably say these on Radio 4.
You can imagine my love making. Why don't you pop your penis in my vagina?
Yeah. I don't need to imagine it now. You've given us a fair. I'm going to take that on a little loop and take that home with me for tonight. And actually, we should say in the current climate, I think some guidelines should be. Operation Yew Tree has
set them out. Yeah.
The broadcasters of 30 years ago. We don't want in 30 years' time for us to, because there's a backlog. So whatever we do today will take 30 years to get to court.
I just
want to make sure in the light of that we don't do anything wrong. So. Just the boundaries. Am I allowed to touch you in any way during the broadcast?
Let me just have a little think about that.
Because I had this idea about when you were trying to do a serious item, I could juggle your breasts. I don't know if that's...
I didn't get that memo, actually.
Is that... And I actually mean juggle them. I don't mean just feel them. I mean actually try and juggle the two. It's easy juggling two things, isn't it? So.
Yeah, I mean, no.
No, okay. Well, that's good. It's good that has been laid out, because then if I do it...
Yeah.
A, you can... Just say I'm doing it. I'm doing, say, Richard Herring is being inappropriate. Don't say if I'm not doing it, though. That's a bad sign. That's good. So I'm looking forward to swearing. I'm looking forward to being our first day.
Wazzock's
quite good. That means bull's testicles, I think.
The whole genitals. The whole lot.
I love the word Wazzock.
Yeah.
And I don't think it's used enough. It's a very Somerset word. We used to use it in Somerset a lot. So
is it that old?
Yeah.
1967.
And it goes back. Well, I wasn't. Yeah. It was 1976, 1977 when we were saying it first.
Yeah.
But I think it's older than that, yeah. I've said Wazzock on Top of the Pops. I presented Top of the Pops, you know.
I didn't know that.
Twice, in fact. Now look at me. I was on Top of the Pops.
Actually,
have all the people who've been on Top of the Pops.
Yeah.
At least I am not in prison or dead.
Yeah, that's a really good way to look at your career. Yeah. So at least I'm not a paedophile.
It is good, so that I'm pleased with that. But yeah, Wazzock's a good one. Cunt. Yeah, that's probably a bit far. That's a bit gone a bit far.
Ooh, that's got a lovely ring to it, hasn't it?
I just made it up. It's a new word I made up myself. So I look at this really as being... Because we've got this freedom that most radio doesn't have. It's a bit like The Boat That Rocked, isn't it? The film The Boat That Rocked without the comedy rapes.
I've not seen it, but it sounds great.
Now, in the light of everything that's happened, it's sort of about Radio Caroline, but it isn't. You know, it's like those days where there was pirate radio.
Yeah.
And it's a load of DJs on a boat, and then they get 16-year-old girls shipped in, and... Then there's one bit where Nick Frost tries to trick one of the girls into having sex with someone. I mean, a lot better looking than Nick Frost. I think that's why they probably think, oh, this is okay.
Yeah.
But that's still the girl has agreed to have sex with Nick Frost, and then there's a handsome man in the cupboard who he gets out, who hasn't lost his virginity, and Nick Frost is trying to get him out of the cupboard.
Is this your favourite film?
No, I don't particularly like it. It's a charming Richard Curtis film,
sure.
Which I don't think will be viewed in the same light. As if that when it pops up on ITV4, you're going to go, this is not really.
It's a comedy romp through
Peter Philip. It stars the late Philip Seymour Hoffman, of course, who can make every film he was in. He made good, apart from The Boat That Rocked. So it's still not good. Patch Adams wasn't very good either. I mean, I think we can start saying enough time has passed.
Have
you seen Patch Adams?
I don't even know who Patch Adams is.
Oh, you really don't want to see it. It's a Robin Williams. It's Robin Williams when he became. It's when he decided to become the most mawkish he's ever been, and he is mawk. I mean, I know he played mawk, and I'm using mawk in a different sense than that. But it's the most mawkish film he did. He cures people through laughter. I can't remember what part Philip Seymour Hoffman played in that, but you know, he was good in most things. But let's also remember the things that he couldn't, even despite how good he was. He could not save.
So these are two films not to watch. That's really
those
useful.
Are two of his films not to watch. Watch all of his other stuff.
You've saved like 3.5 hours there.
Thank you. Yeah. That's good. So we're going to be coming up with more stuff later, I expect.
Knowing us.
Hold on, I just got to do that. That was a terrible thing.
Hey. It's just our first day.
We're coming up with more stuff later. That is not good. And we're going to look at the news in the third hour. We're going to interview Daniel in the second hour. We're going to mess around. We're going to tell you what we've been up to very shortly in our week. And then you can join and ask you to join in with that. So you can email us herring@foobarradio.com or tweet us at herring1967 or at Lou Sanders. The annoying thing is, of course, we're going to get loads of tweets on Thursday night when this is out. And we'll go...
it's not a system that's working for anyone.
It isn't. So keep an eye on my Twitter feed, and when we're recording, we'll let you know what the question is. But we'll pretend. Let's pretend.
Guys,
we can't get in trouble.
Joining us is something completely pointless, guys. Come on.
But if you join in, if you send them in, we'll probably read them out next week. How about that? We can start if they're good ones, but try and make them funny when you do join in. And we'll be talking to people during the show as well, so you can start making contact with us. Probably by email is the best way to do it. herring@foobarradio.com, and we will ring some of you back in the third hour. I think it's time to play a second song. It's a quite counterintuitive system, this desk, because it says B, C, D, and A on there, and it says 1, 2, 3, and 4 on here, and the B is in blue. But the second, but two, is in red.
Tell him about it, Rich. So tell the listeners about that. Tell him about it. This is what they need to know.
It's a poor system.
Because they just think we're just sitting here having the time of Riley. But we've got different coloured buttons here.
So look, I look at that, I see blue. What if I press 3? Because that's blue.
Now's the time to drop the C-bomb.
I have to press B, which is 2 anyway. It's not even B. Why not have
total
the same
wazooks
thing? Why not have the same thing on here as you have on the other thing? That is my question to you.
The producer's come through and he's putting some tape on it, and things are happening.
It's not the producer. This is Will.
Yeah.
He's not the producer. He's nothing.
Will is something to someone.
ABCD. That doesn't really help.
You've done a great thing. Thanks,
that's very good. I'm going to press B and see what happens.
My
and then
word.
We have to remember to take the fade down. It's very loud, wasn't it? It's Damon Albarn, is it? No, it's Beck.
Hey. It's just our first day.
It is. So I nearly got that right. It was Beck with Devil's Haircut.
What do you want? Round of applause?
Not really. But I should say, by the way, that this show is a guaranteed Red Hot Chili Peppers free zone. That we will never play the Red Hot Chili Peppers, so you can listen safely in the knowledge you'll never hear all of their one song done slightly differently in lots of different ways. Devil's Haircut. Would the devil have a haircut? You know, I've never really thought of him as having hair. Horns.
I don't believe in the devil.
There's no point in him cutting his hair. Because he's trying to look, you know, have a scary image anyway.
Are you going
to
let Beck know, or shall I?
I will. He's got it in his mind. All I can think of is like the devil's hair growing inside of Beck's actual brain when he sings that. Mm. And that's not a nice image, because that hair would be fiery, full of sulfur, burning Beck's brain. And he won't be able to write more songs like that if he puts a devil's haircut in his brain. What we forgot to do in the first section, I was very excited, and you know, because I'm sure this will be amazing, is the very first What's in the Bag, which has a jingle. Here it is.
What's in your bag? What is in your bag?
What you can't see at home is how proud Lewis as that is played. She's going, like a little, kitten.
No, I was not my first time having a murder kitten. I was thinking it was inspired by Rob Broderick from the Abandoned Man, because he does that thing. He's very good improviser, and his Abandoned Man do that thing. Wash in your pocket. So I did it in an Irish accent. But
I apologise to our Irish listeners. That was meant to be an Irish accent.
Wash in your pocket. It's only amusing to me, really.
I'll do the bad comedy. I'll do the bad regional accents.
At some point,
my Scottish accent, my bad comedy will certainly be from me. So how does What's in the Bag work?
Okay,
Lou?
I've got a bag.
Yeah, I can see
what's in it.
That's exciting.
I got a see-through one at first, and I thought, this is going to really give the game away.
That makes it a bit obvious. So Lou has prepared a bag with an object in it.
I'm coming round.
Are you going to come round?
Jiggle my breast.
I will try not to.
What's in the bag?
Okay. All right. I'm not looking.
What's in the bag?
Okay. I've got. It's. It feels like some kind of chocolate bar or something like that.
No, very far. Opposite, really.
It's sort of. It's a sausage shape.
No, you wish.
With a sort of crumbly, a small flaccid sausage shape. Is it my penis? Have you put my penis? Actually, there's a hole in the bag. It's my own. It's cold, but like my penis has become. I'm 46 years old now. My penis is largely useless. It's crumbling off. There's flakes of it crumbling. Is it a food stuff?
Well, yeah.
It smells.
Like your penis.
It does smell like my penis. Is it a fish finger?
Really manhandling.
Is it a fish finger or something like that? It feels stronger. Like a banana or something.
It's vegetarian.
Is it a vegetarian fish finger? Vegetarian
that's a
sausage.
Really good guess. I give it to you. It's a veggie goujon.
I was not going to get that. Yeah, so it's like a fake bit of chicken.
Yeah.
So that is weird, isn't it, that you would say that after I did all that Colonel Sanders stuff, and then
so
you
weird.
Turn up with chicken. Is there something else in your bag as well?
Mine. Yeah.
This is great radio. This is a bit like Educating Archie, which was a And my older listeners will remember that. I don't think there'll be anyone old enough. Which was a ventriloquist on the radio. A man putting his hand in a... Is this... Well, this has got, like, parts of vegetarian Goujon over it. Is this a chestnut? Feels like a chestnut.
No.
Feels like a... Is it part of some human brain? Is it part of an animal brain?
Yes, well done. No.
No, it's got bits of the Goujon on it, which is putting me off. Is it a bit of cauliflower?
Yes, that's really good guessing.
Yeah,
Amazing. Thank
you very much. So I've got... That is what a brain is like. So that is Lou's... feature.
What's in your bar?
I hadn't recognised that you were doing that in the accent on the
is in the bag.
They're very good. How long did it take you to write those jingles? It'd be interesting to know.
Surprisingly quick.
That was it? Okay.
It's a first time hit. All of them are.
Well, a lot of.
I don't get back.
A lot of great hits were written in, 30 minutes.
I use, channeling, like Mozart used, and a lot of the great artists. I use channeling for my jingles.
Yeah.
So I just open up to the universe and I'm just like. What's in your bag? That'll do.
Okay. That's good. Well, look, we're going to talk about what we've been up to recently in the last couple of weeks. So each other shows will be the last week because we have the whole of our lives before now for this first one. But recently I have been, what I've been doing, Lou, I went skiing.
Oh, you don't look the type.
It wasn't because of the Winter Olympics. I didn't know that was happening. I'm not the type. I don't like skiing. My wife wanted to go skiing. One of her friends was going skiing. Oh. And so I had to go with all these youngsters, like your age.
Yeah.
And, you 24. Know, I'm... Yeah, and I'm... Yeah. I'm a little older than that. We don't. There's no... I've said I'm 46 already. I just said it, and then I was talking about my penis. And so it was kind of a bit... Well, I enjoyed it, but I wasn't really looking forward to skiing. And I rightly so, because I didn't enjoy it.
Sure.
It's very painful. Mm. That you have to put on... You have to go and rent equipment.
Yeah.
Because it's for, rich people. That's why I think it put me off. And also, I don't really
The rich people buy the equipment, but yeah.
Yeah, well, they do. Yeah. But and I don't really like danger of any kind or taking risks.
Yeah.
So, and I'm always, I always see where I could die and stuff. And, skiing. If Michael Schumacher can't do it properly, I'm not going to be able to do it properly, am I?
You couldn't die on the nurses. So it's very... No. I mean, Rich, I take all my risks on stage and I think you're probably the same.
I am. But I remember at the beginning we went to the shop and we put these boots on. They were a bit tight and I didn't know whether that was right or not. So, because I'd never been before. But one of them was really hurting straight away and I was going, is that right? But I better not say anything.
Then
I had to walk up a mile up to the hill and with the skis over my shoulder with these horrible boots on. They're like robot boots. You were like, and they're not, because they clamp into the skis. And so I was in pain. And then I was thinking, what's this like? What am I being reminded of here? And I realised I was like Christ going to Calvary.
Exactly.
It was exactly the same thing. And then, and also like Christ, I knew that what was about to happen was much worse than what was happening. Even though this was bad, the stuff that was about to happen was much worse.
Oh,
and it was humiliating because I was put in like the nursery slope with all the little 4-year-old children. Who were mainly better than me.
Better than you.
There was one little boy called Alex who just cried all the time.
And how many times did you cry?
I really wanted to cry. But I was looking at him going, it's all right, I feel the same. He was really bad. He kept on doing it, but he was just crying constantly. So he's up the top and coming down. But it's exactly how I felt. But in the end, after 3 or 4 days of doing it and being in pain and then taking all the stuff back to the shop, it felt so good that it was worth it. Because it was... The pain, you needed, I think it's a philosophical thing, you needed the pain in order for the pleasure to come. And the euphoria I felt at not having to ski for a while, hopefully ever again.
Yeah.
But until my wife says we're going skiing again. Because I have to do what my wife says. That's how. Yeah. No one told me that when you get married, you have to make compromises. I
can't wait to get married and go skiing.
Yeah. It'd be good. But
that's a real sad story. Yeah. And I was welling up feeling so bad for you right then.
Yeah. Thanks. Yeah. What have you been up to this week, Lou?
Well, I mean, you think you've had a bad time.
I
split up with my boyfriend.
Oh.
And I don't know, on our other radio shows, where they don't talk about it. I don't know why, when Chris Evans was separating from Ridley Piper, why he didn't just go on the radio and tell everyone about it. It's
sorry to be banging on about my successful marriage and everything.
I know, it's really...
It was very insensitive of me in hindsight.
The thing is, I thought I was going to lose loads of weight and I'd keep eating, so that's not happened. And then I thought I'll get loads of jokes out of it. I've got no jokes. People get whole Edinburgh shows out of splitting up with people.
They do, yeah. Well, that's... That will come.
I've got no joke. I tell you what did happen though. I was at my mum's for. I was at my mum's and I was crying because it was happening. And then I said goodbye to my mum and I was really crying. And my two nephews were there and they were like, they're only 7 and 8. So they were like, what? Oh, why is Lou crying? And then my sister-in-law was like, oh, she's got to say goodbye to her mum, so she's sad. Oh. And I went, oh. And then I was crying so much, they ran after me and gave me a Where's Wally book. And Oscar was going, now, don't worry, because all the instructions are in there. I think they're on this page. That's right. All you have to do is just find Wally.
It's nice to have the instructions there. Yeah. And it's nice they're pointing out to you. I think your nephews know you better than... You think that you do? You will need to look at the instructions. It's quite complicated for you. It's all right for a child, this, but it might be. Oh, that's sweet.
In my state, when I couldn't even see, because I was crying so much. And then they said, so I was going over the bridge to get my train back, like boo-hoo, clutching a Where's Wally book. And then Oscar said, could you send it back to me next week? It wasn't even to keep.
I should hope not. It's just that's a nice kid. That's nice when a kid lends you something. That is as nice as it gets, but they're not going to get... They've got few possessions, a child. You have to remember, you've got quite a lot of stuff, probably.
Yeah. You know. No, I didn't even want the crappy old Where's Wally book,
anyway. Did you manage to find Wally in each picture?
No, I didn't find happiness or Wally.
He's kind of... It's made easier because he's dressed up in a stripy top. I think if he sometimes just wore something different, then it would be harder to find him.
Yeah.
But he always dresses the same, and then you go, oh, there he is.
Stinky old bugger.
He should put on some disguises
and wear
different clothes, different costumes, and, you know, take the glasses off. Okay, take the hat off, it's a giveaway.
Another idea we can pitch.
Okay.
But also, his poor parents, that keeps going missing. We can never find him.
I think it's quite a good idea. Where's Wally for adults, but, like, really difficult.
Yeah.
And then you have to, and if you get it wrong, you have to put a... Like a spike into it, and if it's wrong, you get electrocuted really badly.
Yeah, and you can use real people that have gone missing, and then if people can find them, then it's also getting awareness of people that have gone missing. Because then, if you see them in your real life, you'll know to report.
Well, all right, you're rescuing this idea just slightly as an idea. Well, we want you to email in or tweet in with things that you've done for the first time. Lou has for the first time broken up with her long-term boyfriend. Mm. And it's not the first time. She's done it loads of times before. But I think this time it's going to stick.
God, this can't go out. It's horrible.
And it's going out. And I have been skiing with my charming wife. So tweet us at herring1967 or at Lou Sanders. Email me at herring@foobarradio.com if you have any ideas for that. And we will... Now it's going to be... I gave a clue who our next song was going to be. It is the song by Damon Albarn, who I once saw in real life. He's a friend with the guy... What's the guy from Part Life? Phil Daniels. He was in Time Gentleman Please that I wrote, and we were rehearsing, and Damon Albarn came in, and I went, it's Damon Albarn.
What a tale you tell.
I was too nervous to speak to him. His mate likes cheese, and he makes cheese,
his
mate.
He loves it.
That's,
he's always having some good cheese, that guy.
He likes a bit of cheese. And this is Everyday Robots. Well, surely all robots are everyday robots, aren't they? You don't get special...
You get weekend ones.
I suppose you get sex robots.
I
mean, you know, if I had a sex robot, that would be an everyday... That would be an every hour robot. You know what I'm saying?
No, I don't know what you're saying. But it's my young guy's skin.
So Damon Albarn, I've seen him in real life. He just walks around like a normal bloke in real life. It's very exciting. This is him with his talking about robots or something.
We are everyday robots on our farm.
Giving radio the finger.
See, we'll do better than that. We'll come up with better stuff than that.
Sure, we
jingle
will.
With next time.
When you say that, do you mean we already have?
Yeah, we already have. Yeah, we definitely already have. That was Damon Albarn.
Yes, it was. Yeah.
My friend from real life. And it was quite miserable. It was quite a miserable song about robots.
I
thought it would be exciting. Everyday robot. Oh, look at this one. Oh, he's gone insane. He's chewing everyone.
I'm the hype girl.
Disobeyed Asimov's five rules of robots.
I'm still the hype girl.
So we've had a few things in already. People have been doing for the first time. Dave Owen. I don't think it's David Owen from the SDP. It might be. I've brought oily fish to my diet and cooked salmon and eaten tuna for the first time ever this year.
Well, that's
insane. He's like
good and bad.
He's like 40 years old. It says herring next. So I think it's a little do. Right. I think he wants to.
He wants
chomp down on a little bit of me.
Sure.
You can start. Start with my anus. That is the tenderest and nicest part.
Sure. Just get in touch if you want to start with Richard's anus.
If you want to have a go. Sure. Tom Webber, who's one of those guys whose picture, is that called an avatar on Twitter, is just his chest area with his head removed.
That's what I like.
It is for many people. Yeah. It's like the female eunuch. That's the front cover of the female eunuch. No arms, no legs, no head. Just the good bits.
Just the good bits.
So that she knew how to get guys going. That
Let the
Jermaine
dog
Greer.
See the rabbit.
He said, this year for the first time ever, I lifted an 80 kilogram Atlas stone. I don't know what that is. It sounds heavy. I mean, I am 90 kilos now, so it's 10 kilos less than me.
Yeah,
I've lost a bit. I've lost a bit of weight. It's about 13 stone, nearly 13 stone, I think
that
is. And it's an Atlas stone. I don't know if it's, it's a stone that has the world drawn on it. Or whether it's named after Atlas, who famously held the world up. We're laughing and learning today. And we're mainly learning in this. But have you got anything, entries?
Sure, we've all got emails, Rich. Cool. Dear Richard, forgot my name, but it's okay. Got my first tattoo this month. Saturday just passed.
Oh, yeah.
Stickler for the deets. Mid-tattoo, the artist happened to mention that he loves a bag of pure MDMA. He was tattooing the name Megan at the time, and I was terrified he would write MDMA by mistake.
Yeah. Is that from Megan? Or is that from someone who...
That's from Mags.
Mags.
That's
probably Megan. That's probably short for Megan. Although, you don't put your own name...
On a tattoo.
Do you tattoo your own name on you?
Well,
that is a bit weird, isn't it?
I mean, someone loves themselves a Megan.
You tattoo your own face on your own body.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, it's most useful if you ever, disfigured. You could go, that's what I used to look like.
Look like, yeah.
But that's the only practical thing I can see for it.
I would say get a lover, Mags. Yeah,
but they might be. Megan might be Mags's lover or mother or daughter or...
Max has sent two in, could you believe it?
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Are you sure?
She says, I presume it's a woman, I also received my first text fail from my mum. The text read, "Well, did you strike it lucky?" Swiftly followed by one saying, "Sorry, that was meant for my friend Eddie."
This is a long one, which is good, because it fills up time. From Myra Manga. These all sound made up. These are genuinely real people. It's not like our first show and our producer's in another room writing emails for us. She's here. She's sitting right here and she's
Google,
be doing it on her phone. Myra Manga said, brilliant, Myra Manga. I set myself a challenge of doing 50 new things for the first time in 2014. These range from the mundane to the heavy machinery.
Oh, wow.
There's pics of her achievement on Flickr, but I'm not going to, I can't give you that address out. This is the list of what she's done for the first time so far this year. Finished all the jam in a jam jar.
Oh, set your sights so low.
So normally I have to throw them away. I have to throw them away before they're finished.
Mouldy.
I suppose they go mouldy, but...
She's eaten too much jam. I mean, if anything, that's not a positive.
No. 2 8 avocado hummus.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
These aren't that impressive. But that's good that you've done something. Changed a smoke alarm battery. You've got to do that more than once.
Yeah.
I mean, you're presuming this woman is over 20. You've got to do it more than... Once every 20 years. Every day, you've got to check your smoke alarms. There's a special message there for you. There's a lot of these, and this will keep us going. Did a duvet burrito?
Don't know what that is.
I'm guessing you just wrap a duvet around you like a burrito. Or you maybe put some avocado on your hummus on yourself.
Is this woman a real high flyer? These are just things I would do without mentioning. These are things I would not write down in my journal with a phrase.
I think you could get a 50 pretty easily if this is the standard.
Yeah.
First side plait worn.
Yeah.
I mean, if I'd been there, I'd have put first left side plait worn, and then you could have done the right side, and that would have been two in one, and a back plait, and a plait down the front. I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't really know about plaits.
Yeah.
I have had my hair plaited.
Have you?
Yeah, my wife once plaited my hair.
That's nice.
I think it was my wife. It might be one of my former girlfriends. She won't be listening. It's fine.
She won't.
Did some blacksmithing with a proper anvil and everything. That is good.
That's good.
If that was number one, we'd have been impressed from the start rather than I ate some jam.
Oh,
I ate too much jam. I ate more jam than I wanted to eat.
Cleaned out the bloody pot, mate.
She drove a vintage 50s Ferguson tractor.
Yeah.
Went to a drag show. Mm. That's the first. And that's what's interesting because it says, met my fave drag queen, and he's called Willem.
William.
Mm. But if you've got a favourite drag queen, why have you never been to a drag show before?
Yeah. She's throwing up more questions.
There are. She wore false eyelashes for the first time, used rollers in her hair. She had a part of my first proper fire evacuation from my office on Carnaby Street.
You can't put You can't put that in. That's just something that happened. You didn't plan for...
Oh, 12's good, though.
Yeah.
I have done this. Met David Baddiel. Oh. That is a good one.
Dream of the day.
And won a space hopper race.
Nice.
No,
that's
I
good.
I think
that's
all
that's
her
good.
Life
that's
she's
really
been
good.
Trying to win a space hopper race and yeah. hasn't won one, and yeah, she's yeah. managed to do it. Drove a forklift. So she's done 14 of the 50.
Nah, she's done some good stuff.
I hope this helps your radio show. Smiley face. It did, though. I feel it helped us.
I feel like I've been too mean to Myra now. She's done some great stuff. She's,
there's a lot of good things in there.
She's living her life.
It's not
good
just
luck to her.
Not just eating jam.
Just don't start. I mean, I would say just don't start with the jam. Apart from that, good show.
Good. And now here's my special thing. This is better than a bag with some vegetarian food in it.
How so?
Though that got all on my fingers and everything. That was quite exciting. I've got my fingers smell of chicken.
Veggie,
now.
Veggie
yeah. bouillon. Yeah. This is I've been writing a blog every day for 11 years.
Yeah.
So I'm going to each week. I'm going to read out what my favourite blog from that week has been. It's like a diary. Someone on Twitter, when I mentioned this, I was on TV on Channel 4 last week, and I mentioned this, and they said how arrogant, how conceited to write to write a diary every day. But, you know, quite a lot of it is just taking the piss out of myself, so it's not that conceited. It's mainly having a go at me. So anyway, this is this week's. It's called Dickie's Diary. That's what.
Play it.
I will. I think it's going to play with this. Here we go.
Oh, Dickie, what's in your diary? Oh, Dickie, what's in your diary?
This is my blog from Sunday, the 9th of February, 2014. Back on live Sunday morning TV. Has this morning Richard Not Judy returned? No, that was, of course, for the younger listeners. The show I did back in the 1990s. Though the other day I had a dream that it was 10 years since we'd done the last one of those shows and woke up depressed by the passage of time until I was awake enough to realise that it's actually nearly 15 years and then felt even more depressed about the passage of time. But there's a DVD release of the series. It is looking hopeful if expensive, so you'll be able to relive it or live it for the first time if you didn't see it. I was appearing on Sunday Brunch, a show that has totally stolen the format of Toowoomerangger, then added cookery and celebrity guests and taken out all the sketches and the Curious Orange and the Organ Gang. Apart from that, it is the same. It's a rip-off. I'm going to sue them. I never really get nervous about appearing on live TV, but I didn't back in the 90s, and it didn't faze me today. It never feels like what you're doing is really being beamed into people's homes, nor does this, to be honest. Especially on Sunday Brunch, where the chat occasionally seems so banal, too banal even for general consumption. I enjoyed the 2-minute discussion they had about what age you should teach your child to make a cup of tea, and had to ask whether that had really happened. But the hosts are aware of what they're doing, and I actually admire this subtle comedy they're playing on The Nation. My only worry this time is that I would blurt out some swear words or be unable to resist saying the worst possible thing. And when the first section involved the Olympic rings, that's already tempting me, and one of them not firing up properly in the opening ceremony and looking like a little puckered asshole, I wanted to shout something about Putin wanting to fuck it, but I kept quiet and didn't get kicked off the TV. It was a very relaxed show and fun enough to be on. I did manage to inject some comedy without attracting the attention of whoever the 21st century Mary Whitehouse is. She won't like this radio station if she's still going up there in heaven. The other guests were finding it similarly surreal. I can't imagine what We Are Scientists made of it all, for example, though they remained good-humoured, and it was fun hearing Jamie Feakston making risque asides about anal sex, even when we were on air. And I wasn't convinced that our mics were turned down. I got to make some salmon fish cakes whilst discussing Stephen Fry's suicide attempt, which was a bit of an odd juxtaposition, and risked eating an oyster, even though last time I did that, I ended up vomiting on my own diarrhea. And also tried a camel milk latte. That wasn't even on the show. The host was supposed to ask me to taste it. There wasn't time. I was interested in any case. I did once in the old days pretend to drink different animals' milk every Sunday. I never really had done it, but I had a sip of this camel milk. Milk is milk, right? There'll always be milk. It wasn't very nice, though. A strong, earthy taste. Like milk that had been kept in a leather saddlebag, which had been put on a galloping beast who had run across the desert for some reason. I don't know why it tasted like that. I missed out on checking out the Valentine's Day cocktails, but got to eat some duck à l'orange and some very rich cheesecake. I don't like cheesecake, but thought this might be different. It wasn't. It was too rich. It's horrible. There was some fun had with an American invention called the Bacon Bowl, which you could use to turn bacon into a bowl, which you could then fill with a filling of your choice and eat. There wasn't enough bacon in that for my liking. I think there should have been a bacon lid, and then it should have been filled with bacon. I'll be bringing out my bacon ball soon. I tried a bit of the bacon bowl with egg in it. Obviously, it was nice. I could have told you that already. Bacon and egg. That's nice. I was interviewed about We're All Going to Die, my current tour show, and it also felt odd to be chatting about this subject on this light-hearted and light programme in the middle of the morning. But we got into quite philosophical places with it when I asked Tim and Simon to consider the fact that their atoms were forged in the crucible of exploding stars. I think I might have blown their minds a little bit. Tim Lovejoy and Simon Rimmer. Bet he got teased at school, hey, Simon Rimmer, because that is the same name as the character from Red Dwarf. They probably got teased for that. Anyway, this evening I had an enjoyable preview of the next meaning of life for the Tabard. For once it didn't rain on my wife, and as we walked to the venue and home again, which it always seems to at that particular one. But anyway, that's enough of that. You can listen to meaning and see meaning of life on the internet very soon, and also from iTunes. But that is my blog for this week. Hope you enjoyed it. The end. Yeah, that was my blog. It was pretty good. We'll talk about vomiting on our own diarrhea in the next segment. This is David Bowie. Adam Buxton loves this guy. I was just talking to Adam Buxton last night. Here we go.
I know when to go out.
FUBAR Radio.
Yeah, that's the professional. That's lovely.
What are you talking about, professional? I was asking you what's next when the song's finished and you had a job to do.
That's right. You could say what's next. Yeah, it's better to do it when we're not talking to the people at home. But that was Modern Love by David Bowie.
Very nice.
Do you say Bowie or Bowie?
I say Bowie.
Do you?
Yeah, what do you say?
Bowie. Hmm. Do you say scone or scone?
Scone.
Yeah, that's correct as well. Good. So I did mention in my blog there, and my Dickie's diary, that I did once vomit on my own diarrhea. Have you ever done that?
Tell us more.
I was listening to another rival radio station today, and they were talking about injuries they'd had in the kitchen. It made me really feel bad. So this is going to make people at home feel bad, because Ant McPartlin sliced part of his thumb off. Did you see that?
Ooh.
And I can't stand thinking about stuff like that. So now I've just, if there's anyone like me listening to this at home, they'll be going, oh, no, because that's what made me do. But I'm going to talk about vomiting on my own diarrhea. It was my birthday, and we'd gone to Ipswich as a special treat, which is something you must never do. I wanted to go and see the dig that's near there with the Vikings. What's it called? Oh, I should know that. There's a big...
It wasn't around about the time those people disappeared.
It wasn't, no, it's not. There was an archaeological dig there. That is an awful thing to say. Terrible girl.
So
but anyway, we'd had like some food. We'd had a nice meal. We'd had oysters. That might have been the culprit. We'd also had some mackerel the night before, I can't eat mackerel anymore because it makes me feel too ill. I woke up in the morning. I thought, oh, I don't feel very well. I went to the toilet and sat down and went to the toilet. And, you know, I had diarrhea. That's the only way of saying it. But then I realised I was going to be sick, and there wasn't time to you know, flush the toilet, so I had to be sick on my own diarrhea, which is as low as it gets.
Yeah.
But on the plus side, I lost about half a stone that week, so you know, sick on my own diarrhea, Vinus quite a bit thinner. So you know, I was kind of hoping when I ate that oyster on Sunday brunch that, you know, it might give me food poisoning, but it didn't. I felt a bit queasy. There was a lot of very rich stuff, and I didn't get to drink the cocktails, which was annoying. Anyway, we've had some more stuff about things people have done for the first time. I prefer my name wasn't used in this story, just in case.
Okay, Mark.
His doctor's listening, I think. I think you might be able to see why. Oh, I did see his name, so it's lucky I didn't. I do know his name. Let's call him Mark because it is his name, no, it isn't. I saw my first fractured penis this month.
Oh.
I'm a doctor, but in the 20 years of practice, so now people are going to be, this little segment is certainly going to put a few people off their evening meal.
No wonder you didn't want his name, because it's actually illegal.
He is the doctor. I'm a doctor, but in 20 years of practice, hadn't seen one until a few days ago. Impressively swollen balls as well. But I've seen plenty of them in my time. So, you know, I think you can't see that many fractured penises anyway. But I'd once had one testicle really swell up. I got hit by a wave, and I was in Barbados, as it happens.
Yeah,
I was on holiday with this girl that the day before we went on holiday, without me knowing, her ex-boyfriend had proposed to her. So it wasn't, and we broke up as we came back from the holiday. And on the holiday, I went swimming in the sea and I got knocked over by a wave and hit my head.
Yeah.
But for some reason, one of my testicles really swelled up, just one of them. I mean, they're quite big already. But, it was really big. And then I realised on the flight home, it really was unpleasant. But on the flight home, it acts like a kind of air pressure barometer.
Ooh.
Thing. So as you went higher and lower, it kind of, it hurt. So there you go.
It's unusual that he's not seen more. I mean, because... I've seen about 12 fractured penises.
So it's quite a rare thing to actually. You can sort of break your penis. I know a lot about the penises, just because it's a little hobby of mine.
Yeah.
I wrote a book called Talking Cock and a show called Talking Cock, which you can get from gofasterstripe.com if you're interested. Okay. If this talk of fractured penises has made I'd like to know more about that.
Yeah.
You can break your penis. You've got to be slightly careful with it, but it's quite difficult to break it, as that man attests, after 20 years of being a doctor. Mm. What have you got there from the general public?
Okay, what have I got? One of them.
Shall I play this? Because, this is...
You go, hey. go for it.
It's just our first day.
Okay.
That should have given you time to...
Done for the first time this month. Not funny. Great start. Not funny, but I had to make a decision on... Oh, I'm not even reading that. Okay, for the first time this month, I have gone... No, I'm not reading that either. I thought, okay.
Yeah, wrong
good
pile.
One. I've got the no
You've got
pile.
The rubbish pile. I've got another one that I haven't.
I've got one. If
okay,
you
go on, you do it.
Okay. This year, I have done
this
many
chemistry
things.
Between us is amazing.
This year, I've done many things for the first time, as I've taken early retirement and moved to live in the countryside in Thailand. It's not very entertaining, but for the first time in my life, I'm totally content. And that's from Dave Powell. And I say, Powell to you, Dave.
And Craig says, "Not this is my contributing story. Not for the first time ever, but the first time for the best part of 30 years.
Yeah.
Not sure that counts. Went to Dunstable Downs, a very exposed, incredibly windy day. I decided as a 36-year-old man to do a thing I'm pretty sure all boys do when it's windy, and grab both the bottom sides of their jacket, then by thrusting my arms out to the side, creating a kind of parachute kite wind catcher, and charge against the wind. However, I totally misjudged the nature's strength and was thrown back about a metre onto the soaking wet ground." He got wet. Do you want to do a quick... Can you do your stupid take a book thing?
Yes,
in,
please.
Can you do it in under 2 minutes?
Yeah, go for it.
For the first one. Okay.
Play my
this
jingle.
I'm going to play Lou's jingle. Here it is.
Take a book.
Really?
You like that
okay,
one.
Okay, good.
Okay.
Go.
This is called Ice Cream on a Hot Plate. Jason was 7 foot of pure tanned muscle. He worked out like he liked his penis. Hard. When he walked into the room, you'd know about it, mainly because he shouted, "Jason's here!" He was melting hearts and doing it fast, like ice cream on a hot plate. That's the title. Suddenly, Champagne walked in. She was called Champagne because she looked and smelled like champagne. Bubbly. Champagne's breasts were each as large as Jason's head. In fact, for a joke, he put his head next to her large breasts and said, "Look, look, what do you think is bigger? My head or your left breast?" Champagne giggled nervously and then filed a complaint privately. Jason was promptly transferred to another department. The Christmas party was going to be interesting. It's continued next
okay,
week.
Okay, that's what I look forward to. I'll pay that bit.
Take a book.
So that's a book you've been writing. That's the that, is that the idea? It's a good book. So... coming up in the second hour of the show, can you believe we've done an hour?
Yes.
It feels like a lifetime already. We'll be talking to Danielle Ward. I'm very excited about chatting to her. We'll have more from you. You can email us at herring@fubarradio.com or tweet us at herring1967 or at Lou Sanders. We'll have all sorts of stuff. I've got the meaning of life. I've done a little section about the meaning of life. That's coming up at some point in the future. There'll be no Red Hot Chili Peppers, though. I can guarantee that. If the Red Hot Chili Peppers ever come into this show, I'm out of here and Lou will be working on her own. I don't know if we've had any more tweets through. Let's have a look just quickly. Vicky Stonebridge has been rock climbing, carrying injury, handicap, and I am ancient. So to manage something new like this felt like a great achievement. That's a bit life affirming, isn't it? That's I don't know if that's what we really want on this show.
Yeah, piss off.
We want people fracturing penises. In fact, we want people to talk about fractured penises they have seen. Anyway, it's time for some music. Hey, look, that's my phone going off because I set the timer. So that is. That was exact. We are coming in. We're going to be at exactly an hour at the end of the Pixies.
Whoa.
That's how good I am. Might be 1 second off.
With your feet on the air, your head on the ground.
FUBAR, giving radio the finger.
Yeah, well, it's not naughty, is it? We're saying cunt. That is naughty. We are just very, very rude.
That's what you're not allowed to say on the radio.
We can say anything we like on the radio. It's my show. My rules go. But I discovered that when you're allowed to swear on the radio, it kind of quickly loses its impact and desire. That voice you heard was our guest for this week. is the wonderful Danielle Ward.
Yeah. Hello.
That's my posse. Lose my posse.
Oh. The hype man.
So that's
the,
you get one.
One.
I'm not going to join in. Steve Wright joins in with his own applause, but I'm not going to. Yeah, no, don't applaud yourself.
I'm not
yourself.
Trained as a hype man, but I think I'm pretty good at it.
Hello, Danielle.
Hello.
How are you doing?
I'm all right, thank you.
Good.
How are you?
Oh, you know, it's bearing up. It's going all right, isn't it? It's going going okay.
It's very exciting.
So, it's nice. It's a new radio show on FUBAR Radio, Radio Naughty.
And my favourite thing is if you said anything libelous or awful, no one could find you because this is the hardest place to find on earth.
It is difficult, yeah. So it's like Radio Caroline. It's like the boat that rocked. Yeah. That's what I'm. That's my how I'm envisaging it. And you've been tweaked there. Did you enjoy being tweaked?
I did, I like that. I feel like I should stand on my tiptoes.
So, Danielle, you are, for people who might not be aware of your work, then, well, there won't be many of those.
There'll be loads.
There will be a few.
Yeah.
You're a stand-up... But, you know, we're all in that position, all three of us here in this room. You're a stand-up comedian.
Well,
are you anymore?
I sort of stopped doing that.
You should do good.
Well, I might go back to doing it, but then I stopped because I got part in a Shakespearean play.
Yes, I know.
And I did that for a year.
I don't know, you're an actress. Are we allowed to say that anymore? Actress, or do I have to say actor?
Yeah, either.
Okay. You are a podcaster.
I have
written plays.
Podcast dress, I think you'll find it.
Okay. You're a playwrightess.
Yep.
And a musical writeress.
Musician
and a musician. So you do lots of different things.
Yeah.
And tell us about going to, that is very exciting, going to New York. You were in, what was the play?
I was in Julius Caesar.
But that's all men.
That's all men, isn't it? Yeah. Well, there are two ladies in Julius Caesar, but our version had lots of ladies. It was all female, directed by Fuller Deloyd. And I played the bass guitar. Because you know the bass player in Julius Caesar? I got that part. And I played the bass in front of Sting. And then I met Sting. And we had a chat about playing the bass for half an hour, and he's really weird.
How was he weird?
He's really, really... I mean, he was lovely. He invited us to his home.
I bet he did.
He was in the audience, I'm presuming, rather than
in the audience
one day, yeah.
And he just had no sense of humour at all.
Really?
Yeah.
But you'd think he would because he called himself Sting because he had that jumper that looked like a bee. So that was, you know, that he used to have a sense of humour.
That's
what someone did.
Ended.
Was that it? What? Give me an example of something he didn't understand was a joke.
Well, I wasn't even trying to do jokes at him. But you know when you have like a little bit of banter with someone and you kind of go, well, the bass is fun, isn't it? But I was going, but it's really easy to play because, you know, it's easier than any other instrument in a band. And he was going, no, it's an amazing instrument. I was like, well, no, I'll play it. It just was not. And then he put his hand on my knee for ages and I felt a bit uncomfortable because Trudy was there.
No.
Yeah.
But they're probably, you know, they're into all that stuff.
I don't think, do you know, he
allegedly
was really nice.
Allegedly by you.
Sharing and caring.
I don't want to make out that he wasn't. He was really nice. I just could not connect to him on any level other than a base level. That was it.
But was that tantric touching? Because that's how he works and that's how he has sex very, very slowly.
Yes.
So if he had that for an hour, that is probably foreplay. If he'd stayed there for like a year, that hand would have been on your crotch eventually. It was just working his way up at the pace of a snail. So you left too soon. Oh, that's exciting. You met quite a lot of famous people out there.
Yeah.
I mean, there were famous people in the play as well.
Yeah, I mean, Francis Barber was in the play and Harriet Walter.
Yeah.
And some other people that are famous if you watch theatre.
Yeah, well, a lot of my listeners do watch theatre.
Oh, do they? Well, they know the excellent Jenny Jules.
Good. They were. I don't know who that is.
She is brilliant. Yeah. But it sounds like I'm showing off.
You are showing off.
Basically, I spent a lot of the time either playing the bass or moving a spotlight. I had like eight lines in the entire play, but I milked it for
what
all it
character
was worth.
Were you in? Jeez.
I was Lepidus.
Okay.
Who is one of the triumvirate?
You couldn't change your spots, though, could you? Bang! Hey,
that's good.
Like leopard.
Got it.
I want to dance off.
You want to dance off?
I want to dance off him on a ping pong table in Susan Sarandon's nightclub.
Whoa.
I still can't believe it happened.
I don't believe it's happened. I think you're just making this sounds like the delusion of someone who's been in a coma or is just in Walter Mitty style delusion, or you've just made up. Yeah, I went to New York, I was in a play, I met Sting. Did you meet Susan Sarandon?
I did, yeah. She gave me a big hug because I wanted to dance off, and then we talked about ping pong for a bit.
Can you dance?
Do you know, I was completely sober.
She won the dance
off. Very dirty dancing. Wow. I was just throwing the dirtiest of shapes.
And that was when Sting was there putting his hand on, or a different night?
Different night. I was wearing a hat that night. I wasn't wearing a hat the night I met Sting. I remember these things.
And can I ask what the conversation about ping pong involved with Susan Sarandon? Because that sounds interesting to me. Was she pro or anti ping pong?
She's got a club called Galactic Spin, which is a ping pong club.
Okay.
On a Friday night, they have professionals playing for a $300 prize, I think it is. And at midnight, there is a dance off.
Do you have to be in the ping pong tournament to take part in the dance off?
No, anybody can do the dance off, yeah.
It's not that professional as if you're getting £300 from an helicopter.
$300?
It's not even pounds.
£220.
You can't live off that, can you, for the week? I can't wait till the next Pink Susan Sarandon ping pong competition. That's going to keep me going for the week.
Because I won the dance off, I won a free pass at the bar, which I think was probably worth more than the $300.
Yeah, bet, yeah.
So what, you could have free drinks all night?
Yeah.
At midnight, though?
Yeah, I was so hungover the next day for the two performances. I thought I was going to be sick on top of Kush Jumbo's head, but I wasn't.
Couldn't you just buy everyone a drink with that, or is it strictly limited to you?
No, they're strictly just me, so okay. I racked them up. Because you know how much the Americans love to watch a woman get really drunk? Really endeared myself to them.
That's very exciting, isn't it? That's good. Yeah. Have you ever done any acting, Lou?
Yeah, of course I've done bits. Not proper acting, I mean. Actually, the last time... No, actually, I'm not.
Didn't you? Are you acted in that advert?
Oh yeah, I did some great acting.
Yeah, you're in adverts.
Richard hates adverts.
I won't allow people to. I won't. Once you're off the artistic roll call forever.
Done it.
Bill Hicks said so.
I think anyone who hasn't got a house can do an advert. Yeah. If you've got a house, you can't say anything.
Oh.
Have you got a house?
Yeah, but I did a voiceover for an advert. But that doesn't count.
Yeah, it does count.
It was the Samsung Galaxy Note 3.
Oh, was it?
But it was only in Asia.
Wow.
Yeah.
Did you have to speak in an Asian language?
I did. I did a really good accent. And I did the face as well.
Did you? Alexei Sale does voiceovers.
Yeah, I mean, come on.
And John Peel used to do voiceovers that paid for his tennis court. But I'm a very principled man, and I will only do work like this, FUBAR radio, where you're not really paid for talk. We don't get paid much, if that makes it any better for you people at home. I've no idea how long this section is, because I've only... What, you've done 4 minutes, or we've got 4 minutes to go? Okay.
Which you did some acting, didn't you? I saw you in something.
I act all the time, yeah.
Just the one thing.
I wrote a thing called You Can Choose Your Friends for ITV, which I was in.
I saw it, you were good in that.
But the only thing, no one really employs me as an actor, but
why?
I employ myself. I don't know, I was very good. You saw
you've
my bum in that and everything.
Why
you
got your bum out?
I got my bum out in something. I wrote a play where I was completely naked excavating Rita.
That's why you keep doing writing stuff where it's...
But you know, my body is amusing.
Yeah,
I'm not a vain man. The only thing I did was there was a show called Servants, and it was out before Downton Abbey. It was a really good idea. I think it was written by quite a well known TV writer who went on to do something else or did something else beforehand. But I forget her name. But I had a one off little part where I was a shepherd called Percy, who was there just for dressing. Really, like the Lord of the Manor made me dress up in a smock and then hold some sheep on a little lead. Mm-hmm. And so I was dressed as a kind of stereotypical shepherd, but it was 19th century, but we used, like, and I had to say wanker and stuff. I was across with him. I was going to call him a wanker. You fucking wanker.
Were you good in it?
I was good. I got mentioned in all the reviews. I was away at the time when it came out. But they were going to up the part, I think, a bit, because it was a one-off little joke part. But then the show, I think, was up against Big Brother or something. It was like it was that long ago and just completely disappeared. And
what a world, eh?
They had Joe from EastEnders was in it. Joe.
All the big ones.
Yeah, and never didn't come off, but there we go.
Yeah, man.
But we'll talk about some more. So we'll talk about podcasts coming up with Danielle Ward and comedy and going to Edinburgh, I expect. She's also the Time Out Critics' Choice Award for Best Newcomer 2006.
Thanks for bringing that.
It's all right. Done anything? Won anything lately? Any awards lately?
Won a Sony Award in 2012.
Yeah. What colour Sony Award was it?
The best colour.
Did you win a gold Sony Award?
The only Sony colour that is also an age. Mm-hmm. Oh yeah,
bronze.
The bronze.
Yeah, I've got a bronze. That is the best one, because bronze is worth three and gold's only worth one.
Yeah.
So three is higher. That is how. That works. Oh, I love PJ Harvey, and that is who we're playing next. That is exciting. Do you like PJ Harvey?
I do. I've got the same birthday as PJ Harvey.
What date is that?
The 9th of October.
Wow, well, look out. I'm going to send her a card on the 9th of October. Happy birthday, PJ Harvey, if I forget. FUBAR Radio. So,
Hello.
Hello.
Danielle's still here. Lou Sanders is still here, my co-host. I call him co-host,
yeah.
Posse.
You've upgraded me.
Sidekick, stooge.
Yeah.
No, I thought you were going to say cyborg.
Cyborg.
Yeah.
Be good.
Well.
She's my everyday robot. Let's talk a little bit about. I didn't know this about you. That you started performing stand-up in 2004 after moving to London to become the economic researcher at the South Korean embassy.
That is true.
Is that true?
That is absolutely true.
That sounds like
true.
A Wikipedia lie.
It does, doesn't it? That's true.
How did you get into that?
There was an advert in the Guardian,
yeah.
And I applied for it, and for some reason they accepted me for the position. I don't know, it was the weirdest interview I ever had, and I hated working there, it was horrible.
How long did you work there?
About 18 months.
Did you?
Yeah.
What did you have to do in your time as the economic researcher?
I had to phone up Ed Balls and ask him a really weird question. I don't know what it was now, but I was like, I had like my diplomat on the other end, and he didn't understand economics either, and I didn't understand economics.
How did you get the job?
I don't know. I got the job. I think it's because I'd worked in Russia, so they thought that I was someone who could deal with people.
Are you a spy? You worked in Russia and then in South Korea.
I like to
embassy.
Think so.
What did you do in Russia?
I just taught English as a foreign language.
Oh. I'm going to Russia.
For the games?
No, I'm going to. No, I'm writing a play about Rasputin. We'll talk about Edinburgh. And I'm going to St. Petersburg to try and research it.
Oh, that'd be nice. I didn't go to. I only went to Moscow.
I do, yeah.
It was really good. Because I had no money and it was really cold. The favourite thing to do if you were really cold was just to go in and see Lenin for a bit.
Okay.
Warm up around his corpse and then come back out again.
Is it heated, his corpse?
Yeah, there's a red glow.
Is there?
He looks like a beautiful prostitute.
Is it kind of falling apart a bit, or is the job still holding together?
Well, this was like 10 years ago.
Was it? Yeah.
Yeah, so it was, but he still looked ropey.
That's a bit
weird,
don't
believe
isn't it?
It's really Lenin.
Who do you think it is?
But then I went to there's a Pushkin waxwork museum, okay. Which was 10 different models of Pushkin in different like Pushkin having a cup of tea and stuff. And they were awful, so maybe the Lenin is real, because it couldn't have been the same maker.
They might have different people, whether they had the technology. So you do Edinburgh a lot, or you were doing Edinburgh a lot.
Yeah.
And I loved your shows in Edinburgh. You've done all sorts of different things in Edinburgh, which I like about you.
It's a very good way to not have a sustainable career, is to always baffle and confuse the Edinburgh audience with what you're taking.
Yeah, that's good. So you've done shows like, you did Take a Break Tales,
which was
a sort of, were they real life, they were real stories from Take
a
Break.
It's a real story and then made them sillier.
Yeah.
And that had Emma Fryer in it from films.
That's
She's
right,
in
yeah.
films now.
And Izzy Sutty was in it as well?
Izzy Sutty was in it, yeah. Neil Edmund, who's in the new series of Parks and Rec.
Oh, is he?
Yeah.
Ooh, I love Parks and Rec.
I love Parks and Rec.
Yeah. And you like Community as well, because you're wearing a Community t-shirt just at the moment.
I bought this in America.
Did you? It's very exciting. I want to look at it, but then I don't want to be accused of sexual inappropriateness.
Whereas
in the
night.
You
can just ogle away.
Not in Russia. But it's very good. Yes, and then you did Sister Psycho, which was a musical about a murderous
killer lesbian
nun.
Robotic nun.
Yeah, more robots.
Yeah,
that was great. I saw that. That was really good. Yeah.
Thank you.
That
was good. That was fun. And I did some stand-up shows that were not very well received. And then I did another musical. And well, I said not well received, ignored. So they might have been well received, but no one bothered to tell
it's
me.
It's hard in Edinburgh. I think it's an increasingly hard in Edinburgh to get noticed, and you know, there's so many people doing stuff.
Yeah.
And I think it sort of depends what you want to get out of it. I think for me now, and I think you and me are similar, that we do slightly idiosyncratic stuff, if we can say it, and that isn't necessarily going to go on. I've written like 4 plays before that nothing's ever happened with them afterwards, but in a sense creating them and doing them is enough.
Yeah, well, I'm working on my 3rd musical at the moment, but we're not going to take it to Edinburgh because it costs too much money.
Yeah.
So I could put it on in London and have the same people come and see it.
Yeah.
But that one, I've written 2 like horror musicals, but this one's noir.
Oh, is it?
Oh yeah.
So when will that be? Is that, you got a projected date for that, or is it still?
We're going to do it. We were ambitiously going to try and do it in August.
Okay.
But obviously not in Edinburgh.
No.
But I think we're going to have to push it back to October. I've got too much work on.
Wow, get you. Well, I'm stupidly doing my play in Edinburgh because it is. I mean, it is so expensive, and I'm doing mine's because mine's sort of a period thing. Although it's set in the 1960s, but it's about the guy who killed Rasputin. But, you know, once you get, as you know, once you get to a decent-sized cast and have set and stuff like that...
It's hugely expensive.
I think at the moment I'm in to do a sort of 500-seater theatre, but if I sell every ticket, I'll lose £10,000.
No.
But you just know don't that do
you,
it.
You know that like other people who make theatre don't do it this way.
I know, but
they ask the government for money.
It sort of works for me though doing Edinburgh because I don't think I would do that. I don't think I would ask the government. I don't think I would. If someone just said, "Oh, you've got to write a play and it might be on in October or whatever," then I don't think I'd do it. But with Edinburgh, I will do it, and it forces me down. And I sort of think speculate to accumulate a bit as well. I'm hoping I'll get some backing for mine, and then it won't be quite so bad. But also, if I do my stand-up show and that does well, then hopefully that'll pay for most of the...
Yeah.
Most. So I'm doing a stand-up show and a play. But you're going to do that? Well, that's good. And you... What was the one with all the David Bowie characters in it called? I've forgotten.
That was Gutted.
Gutted, of course it was. Yeah, which was great. That was really... Because we shared the same... I was on after you or before you, one way around,
wasn't
it?
Yes, you were on before us, because we were on stupidly late.
Yeah, when I did Christ on the Bike at the Assembly Rooms, and that was... And you had the girl from Call the Midwife.
Yeah, that was... See, I'm very good at finding people before they get famous.
Yeah, she was just before she was famous.
Yeah, because she just used to do musical theatre.
Did she?
And then she was in My Thing, and then she got famous. So if you want to be in My Thing... Well, that's what I'm saying.
Well, nearly everyone I've worked with has gone on to be incredibly successful. And, I
can't wait for my shit to come in, guys.
We didn't get... I think, have you ever been nominated for a BAFTA for anything? That was... We just had the BAFTAs
not done anything that would be BAFTA recognised.
No.
We did get a really weird email when I got back from New York from the guy who'd done the special effects on Gravity.
Oh, yeah.
Asking me if I had a showreel. Yeah,
that's exciting.
What odd?
What, of special effects or just?
I don't know.
Maybe.
And I looked him up, and it was him.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, this is weird.
Might just
send it to him.
Might just like.
I haven't got one.
You get one together. Have you floating in space? You're gonna love that. How does she do that?
With my hair not moving. That was very off-putting.
Would you rather win a BAFTA or a dancing competition at Pimple Club?
A BAFTA.
Shame.
Because you'd already have done it. And you were saying you met Meryl Streep in New York as well.
Because
I'm very excited about you meeting all these famous people. I met Damon Oldman in a church hall.
Oh, yad.
What? That was years ago.
Oh, that's pretty cool. We met because our director is Phyllis Deloitte, who directed Mamma Mia and The Iron Lady. And so her and Meryl are really good friends. And we were rehearsing at the National Youth Theatre on Holloway Road. And we did our last rehearsal. And apparently Meryl Streep wanted to come to that. And everybody went, no, that's weird. Holloway Road. She's going to find it disgusting. So she came, and because it was really, really hot, it was when New York was having its big heat wave at the end of October, at the end of September, beginning of October. And she came round, and I'd only seen her at the curtain call, so I didn't know she was in the audience. And she came to say hello to everybody, but because it was so hot, none of us could get our clothes on without fanning ourselves down. So I had my trousers halfway up my legs, and she came over and said, "Oh, I'm Meryl." And I went, "Oh, hello, I'm Danielle. I played the bass." And she went, "I know you did. Dong, 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 dong." And it was so weird. I curtsied.
Oh.
I just went, "Thank you, Meryl."
Wow.
It was like meeting God.
It was. Yeah. It possibly is. It could be her. That would explain how she gets all those parts. She does very well. She just casts herself. I'm going to ask you a question from my Richard Herring's Leicester Square Theatre podcast that I ask people on that now.
Okay.
That's available from iTunes, British Comedy Guide, and gofasterstripe.com. Would you rather have a hand made out of ham or an armpit that dispenses sun cream? Don't just answer straight away.
Okay.
If you eat the bit of the hand, it'll grow back again. But if you eat the whole hand, it's gone. And you can still use it as a hand, and there's only enough sun cream for your own personal use. You can't start selling the armpit sun cream, but it's whatever factor you want it to be, you just choose. But you can't change after that. Which would you rather have?
There are caveats.
It's an important question. Then we find out about you psychologically.
Well, I would choose the sun cream because I have a dog. So a hand made out of ham would be of no use to me.
It'd be very good use to you. You could feed your dog a bit.
But you said if I eat all the ham, the hand's gone.
But just let him have a nibble and then it'll grow back.
But what if I fall asleep in his presence and then we've got no hand?
Put it in some kind of glove with dog repellent on it. When you go to sleep.
That's what I do. I don't think you've thought this.
I've thought it through a lot more than you think. I thought of a lot. And then I just go on, act on my feet. God, I'm trying to say I think with my feet or whatever. I can't think what that is. And then I can't think what the thing is. Hold on, I'll just play this because that is apt to this point.
Hey! It's just our birthday.
How long are your links meant to be there?
Very long. We've got two minutes 35 seconds to go first. We're still on now. Don't think it's over.
Oh, really?
That was just me playing a jingle there.
Oh.
I'm going to ask you another question.
I was just going to
have you ever seen a ghost?
No, I haven't.
No. Have you ever seen a Bigfoot?
A Bigfoot?
No, a Bigfoot, like a Sasquatch.
Oh, no.
In real life, not on TV.
No.
Not on Steve Austin.
Sorry.
Has your sibling ever seen a ghost?
Probably.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't believe the sibling.
Yeah.
But
you don't believe in siblings, or you don't believe them?
I've got siblings who are twins, and when they were little,
they must have magic powers.
They have got magic. I used to tell them that twins didn't exist, and only one of them was real. But they had to work out which one it was. I was a great sister.
That is good. So they're younger than you.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, that would be even better to play that on older.
14 years younger than
no
me.
No way.
Yeah.
What happened?
My mum had me when she was really young, and then she just kept breeding.
Wow.
Until a cut-off point.
That is fantastic. Mm. I was talking to Adam Buxton last night, and his dad is like nearly 90, which is so he had him quite late. That's quite late to have a child, isn't it? But you know, I'm hoping I might have some kids. It's kind of nice to see. Yeah. If I live to 90, you know, I could have my kids would be as old as Adam Buxton is now. But I don't think I'm going to live to 90. I think that's the problem. Okay, and so we'll talk about your podcast, I think, in the next section. We've got loads more time with you.
Really?
Yeah, we're only halfway through.
Oh, wow. I've taken my cans off.
I know. I thought you you'd finished because we played a little jingle.
I thought you had, but then I thought I should not put them back on.
I should have just let you think that we weren't on air. We could have talked about the things you were talking about when we weren't on air. That's something I'm probably going to try and do generally throughout the show. I think we'll play a record by Tame Impala.
What the hell is going on? Play Prince. I went to see Prince.
I can't play Prince. It's not on my list.
No.
He's not allowed. How was Prince?
Prince was amazing.
Did you see him in Shepherd's Bush?
Yeah.
Because I walked past that queue. I saw you tweeting about it, so I was looking for you, but I think you were around the corner.
Yeah.
But the queue was kind of incredible.
But I still managed to get in and see. I got there at 5:30. Yeah. It was honestly one of the best things I've ever seen. And then I went to see him again at Coco because I live really near Coco, so I went at midnight because there was meant to be another gig. Okay. Just got let in for free.
Wow.
And I had a
beer. What's he doing? Why is he not just organising proper gigs and having tickets and stuff? What's wrong with him?
I think he wants to play the rock and roll.
It's very inconvenient when you put in the listings and then people who are fans can go and see him. He's just showing off.
He doesn't want to do the sexy songs.
I don't approve of him showing off, and I will not play his records either. It's him and the Red Hot Chili Peppers are out now. Here comes some more music. I'm just checking. Yeah, it did that one. So it's Tame Impala. We'll find out what they're like. I've never heard of them. Apocalypse Dreams. There's some quite futuristic songs being played today. So that's good.
We are the future. Be the day that it
pushed through. FUBAR. Radio worth paying for.
Yep, that's what you're listening to. And that was Apocalypse Dreams by Tame Impala, I think, from memory. Hey, we're being filmed. Watch out. Don't let anyone see what you're doing. It was all right, that Tame Impala. What do you think?
Yeah, 7 out of 10. Six out of 10.
What? That's
3? If you'd have been Joe Wiley, you'd have gone, oh, they're amazing. They're my favourite band ever.
Yeah. I like the name. It's quite, you know, I like making up stupid names for bands. I used to pretend that Stuart liked a band called Chimney Factory, which I think is pretty typical of what he would like.
Yeah.
There is no band called Chimney Factory. Unless you at home start one up, you're welcome to the name. I'd like 1,000 bands called Chimney Factory. So let's talk about podcasts. And you do, as you said, this Bronze Sony Award.
Bronze Sony Award winning.
It's Bronze as an Anus. That is what it is. Bronze Star, which was actually, it's a very amazing thing to win a Sony Award. That's the best internet show, though, right?
That was when they used to still, because they've got rid of the category now, because they realised that the internet is quite big. And so anybody could send them any old dross.
Yes.
But yes, when they still had the internet category, we won that.
I won when it was, I was up against all the radio comedy as well. Okay, I got the bronze against all radio comedy, so I think I am better than you.
No, I got the bronze against all of the internet.
Well, I got against all the internet and all the radio. I was the first internet show to be included in the comedy section. Anyway, enough about that. You do a show called Do the Right Thing, which I have been on.
You have?
It's very good.
Thank you very much.
I've been on it once or twice. It feels like twice, but I think it's only once.
I think you've been on it once because you've also been on my Radio 4 show, which is similar, but legally different formats. I made sure.
So that's Dilemma?
Yeah.
Okay. So that's a Radio 4 show. And interestingly, I guess the podcast has, you host it.
Yeah.
And you have a female regular, yeah. Margaret Cara von Smith. Margaret Caborn Smith. And so you've already got two women banged definitely straight away.
Definitely there.
So that's what the debate has been, obviously, recently about these.
There's been a lot of that, hasn't there?
About panel shows not having enough women on them. I like it when there are women. I think I am a bit of a woman, though. So I think it suits me a bit more.
Lovely ladies' haircut.
I've got a ladies' haircut. Every time I go to the airport, it's always at the airport or on planes, I'm always called madam.
No,
but
you're
nowhere
not.
Else. I am.
You're
every
not.
Time. I guarantee every time
you're
I go
not.
To. It's, I almost think they've got some running joke amongst all security experts. Every time I go to put my things into that, they go, thank you, madam,
no.
sir. They all do that. And then on planes, often they go, thank you, madam, sir. Because they sort of see you from behind and they're not really looking at you. And they sort of just see this vaguely blobby body shape.
I take
and
it
the
as a compliment.
Well,
I think
it's quite nice. But I enjoy that. You know, I think it's very enjoyable to be in a situation on a panel show where. Well, I tell you what, it's very unenjoyable to be on a panel show full of men.
Yes.
Especially male comedians, because they're dicks nearly all, you know. And
yeah.
like the idea of, I think Alan Davis is doing a chat show where it's going to try to recreate the atmosphere backstage at clubs.
Oh, yeah.
In, you know,
oh,
which
God.
Is the worst possible thing imaginable. It's the most horrible thing in the world to be
it'd
in.
Be nice, they could have a lady on and ignore her and then go, those shoes are weird. Just before she goes on stage.
So it's kind of, I did Just a Minute the other day and it was, and I, without realising until afterwards, it was Josie Lawrence and Sheila Hancock were two of them, and it was me and Paul Merton.
Yeah.
And so it was like 50-50 men and women. It creates a much nicer atmosphere.
I just think it's nice. Yeah.
Because
that's give them something to look at as well, do you know what I mean?
Yeah, well, Sheila Hancock's a couple of older ladies. I mean, Sheila Hancock is probably surprisingly old. I think she might be 80 years old.
Mm.
I still would. If I wasn't married, if my wife tragically died and Sheila Hancock and Sheila Hancock wanted to have sex with me,
yeah.
I wouldn't just go, Sheila. I mean, I assume she would want to have sex with me. And I met Virginia Ironside, the agony aunt, recently, who, again, looks incredible.
She's
very sexy. She's a very smart woman. And she's, again, in I think might be 70. I don't want to hope that's not talking out of turn. But she's great. So, I mean, I think that's... It's sort of odd that they don't... And there's plenty of female comedians.
Well, there are loads of them. And so we just... I mean, we always have comics as well. We never kind of have a lovely pretty lady who you've seen presenting something. Nothing wrong with presenters. But because there are... And there's, you know, there's loads of women to choose from, so...
Yeah.
And also, as a podcast, they wouldn't see the lovely lady, would they?
No, I mean, that's the thing, is she wouldn't say anything because she's not funny. No, it's, I mean, it was not something that we actively set out to do.
No.
It's just, I was born a woman, so I can't do anything about that. And
There are things you can do if you want to. I'm considering having a sex change just for the extra work that will come up now. Because it's hard for me to get on panel shows. I get on a few.
Yeah.
But now, if they have to let a woman on...
Yeah.
That's me out and I'm being edged out.
Just film it at Heathrow.
Yeah.
And then
that's right.
Fine.
I'll do the security experts panel show and then it will be fine. And it's basically whenever I go on Thai Airways or anywhere like that, any of the kind of Asian airlines, which I occasionally do when I'm going to Asia. they often on there, they think I'm a woman.
But they think everybody's a woman.
They do. Well, you know, they're just racist. That's what it is. That's racism in action there. That is what's going on there. And so what's the dilemma? Is that hosted by Victoria Corran?
That's Sue Perkins.
Ah, yes.
Who is also a woman.
She is a woman. I get confused. They all look the same to me.
They do, yeah. And
Sue Perkins, of course, it is, yes. But Victoria Corran does another one that's sort of similar.
Yes.
She does, what's hers called?
Oh, does she do heresy?
Heresy, yeah, that's it, yeah.
It's not similar.
It's similar because dilemma and heresy are similar words that could be used as titles for medieval blockbusters about a time-travelling detective.
No, heresy would be dilemma, wouldn't it?
It would be dilemma.
No.
The time dilemma, that's what we would need. And what happens in your one, which one yours is, of heresy and I know which one it's a dilemma is written down on this piece of paper.
Oh, that's that one. It's just things, isn't it? It's like, would you... I used to like it when we were allowed to do things like... we asked Simon Munnery if he would actively sterilise a third of the population. It brought population growth under control.
Yeah.
Very funny subject.
That is a good idea. And what did
good.
He say? Did he say he should?
I think he said that you shouldn't.
Oh.
But you should, shouldn't you?
Well...
Yeah.
I think people have to earn their right to be in society. I think rather than punishing anyone for anything, we should reward people for being good. And you should have to earn the ability to do
this. So, like, the more money you earn, the less tax you have to pay, that sort of thing.
No, I think just the more a good citizen you are, the more benefits you get. So actually earning money doesn't mean anything, because that's not a good citizen. But like, to actually, you could steal if you want, but if you steal, you won't, you know, you'll have to pay more tax or whatever.
But then you get the things you've stolen.
Yeah. Well, yeah, but you know,
it's got a few holes in.
But you know, then you get found for that, and you don't get punished. You just go, I'm disappointed in you for stealing that television.
Society.
You keep that TV if you want, but you won't get to have children, or you won't get to, you know, come and see the football or whatever.
Okay. What do you think? Let's push it through.
It's a bold new. Well, what I enjoy is when liberalism turns into fascism. That is my favourite thing.
And I think, you know, every time anybody has a baby, they have to kill a member of their own family.
Yeah.
I mean, that would work.
That is a good idea.
That is a good idea.
Well, you know, I think we have. There's too many people, and the sea is rising. There's going to be less land to live on.
Who would go first in your family?
Good question.
Thank you.
One of the twins, because there's two of them.
I mean, yeah. Pick. No, one of them's got a child, so not her.
Okay.
Because then she might have me killed. Yeah. Oh, no, so her, yeah.
Yeah, you would start, if you get to choose, you'd start killing the younger ones, because you think, you know, the young ones are going to vote for the older ones.
Yeah.
It's kind of like Big Brother or something.
It is, it's all.
You have to do scheming.
I've not thought it through.
I don't think any of you are going to get into government.
It's very exciting. I found that, but I found, like, Twitter, it's really interesting when liberals become more fascist than fascist.
Yeah.
Like, there was a guy on, when we were, Twitter was discussing the DLT trial before it had come to fruition, and someone made a very mild joke about, wouldn't it be funny if this all turned out to be a Noel Edmonds gotcha? Nice joke.
Yeah.
And he went, oh, so I suppose you think it's funny to joke about rapists? And I said, well, A, that he's not been found guilty of anything, as has turned out.
Yeah.
But then we kind of got into a conversation about, you know, it is all right to make a joke about that as long as it's not about the victims, and it's about the, you know, there's nothing in that joke.
Yeah.
But then he said, I believe everyone who is accused of rape is guilty. and should be treated as that. So that's like, but that's liberalism. Wow. That comes from a good place, because it is obviously a lot of people who are rapists get away with it because it's so difficult to prove. Yeah. But that sort of is the horrible catch-22 of it. You can't just start locking people up because most people actually have, you know, because there's the chance that you're not guilty. But like, to actually get the point, you go, yeah, anyone, I can't see that being abused in any way, where just if you're accused of rape, you are then that is enough and you're sent to prison straight away. I can't see anyone deciding to use that as a
reasonable
leverage.
I have never got into a row with anybody on the internet.
Have you not?
I will not. I have no truck with these people. I just don't take any pleasure in it. Occasionally, if someone get, you know, those spam emails that you get that say, oh, you're so nice, or give me some money. Sometimes I email them back calling them cunts. But that's the only thing I do. I don't do anything else, never.
I quite enjoy, well, I think it's good to discuss, but that, it would be nice if Twitter and the internet was used as a discussion thing rather than people hammering. I mean, that's,
I just can't bear
that's
it.
The people problem is it becomes...
Edinburgh shows out of it as well by going back and forwards and the funny replies.
Yeah, that's true.
It's a creative waste of time.
It is. But I like, you know, I like, if someone's haven't been rude at me, I like ask them why they're being rude and if they think I'm so, you know, often they think, oh, you're shit, well, you know, fuck off.
Oh.
You go, well, if you think I'm shit, why are you wasting your time discussing this with me? And it's kind of an interesting.
In real life, if someone has a go at me in real life, I look at them straight in the eye and say, like, what else is going on in your life? Because this isn't about me. Is everything all right at home? And they get really, really more annoyed.
Is this response to hecklers? Do you do it?
No, just in
the
shop. I was like cycling along and this woman ran into me with her car and she got angry with me and she was like, you know, these cyclists, you should have insurance. And then she was really shouting at me. So I was like, I don't think this is about me. I think it's about other areas of your life that you need to examine because you've just run into me.
That would be an excellent heckle put down. I think if you did that in Ed Clark, I don't think this is about me.
I do like having rows in real life. Yeah. I very much enjoy that, but I can't. I just don't want to do it on the internet.
I don't do it.
I think it's interesting, but then you just have to get to a point when it drags on for too long, or you know, they just say something like that. Well, the minute the guy said that, I thought, "Why am I? I can't have a discussion with this guy anymore. No, I'll just stop talking to him."
So it is kind of pointless.
But
I get more abuse in real life than I do.
So have you got an Edinburgh show out of Twitter?
All the time. What's that?
Have you got an Edinburgh show out of Twitter?
God, no.
Who does that?
People write letters. It's that thing, it's really fashionable, isn't it? Since Robert Popper came out with that book years ago and it was really good about letters and stuff. And people, you know those memes? You always find people writing, those memes guys. Guys, I've learned a word. Let me use in a sentence, but And people, yeah, just writing to different companies and trying to... But then the companies now, the culture, because they know they get free PR out of it, their culture is to write a funny reply and stuff, so they're not the underdogs. So they're like, we're in on the joke.
You were doing that like 20 years ago, weren't you?
Yeah, we did used to write to, you know, on our Lee and Herring radio shows and stuff.
Ask for jobs from people.
Yeah, we applied to be the controller of Radio 1 and the director general of the BBC, and we wrote to loads of celebrities asking if they would support. It was around the time of Clause 28 or something, but we were asking if they would support, like, as if from a guy who was furious that gay sex was being legalised, and then saying, and then trying to do campaign, because it was illegal to have anal sex as a heterosexual even. And so it was a campaign to legalise anal sex for heterosexuals. And it was, we wrote this letter about to loads of celebrities about how he and his wife really wanted to express their love in this way. Yeah. Although it became clear that only he wanted to, and his wife didn't really want to. And loads of people did respond. So yeah, it's kind of, it's sort of interesting. And then yeah, we did loads of stupid things. But I used to like writing to... I went through a period where I wrote to all like Golden Wonder and stuff like that, the crisp manufacturers, about pot noodles, as if from the, you know, perspective of a mad old man. Mm-mm. And then who'd written a long poem about how there was all about Golden Wonder being British and Britain's noisiest crisps, and then questioning how they'd verified that, and then this long poem that was rubbish that I said I would send to that's life if they didn't they didn't give me recompense. And they sent me, like, you know, it's good you got like £3 worth of crisp vouchers and stuff, which, you know, as a student wasn't bad. Anyway, we're going to play some kind of popular music recording now. So I hope you will enjoy that. It's the Black Keys.
That is good.
That's who we've got coming up now. It's got Gold on the Ceiling is the name they have chosen to call this ditty. It's no Golden Wonder crisp advert. Sounds like Sweet, actually.
It does sound like the Sweet.
I think they've sampled the Sweet, who and that was the first record I ever bought, was
Blockbuster.
I think Fox and the Run a Blockbuster, and also Wombling Merry Christmas at the same time. So there you go.
Richard Herring on FUBAR Radio.
Would you rather have a breast, a tit that dispensed talcum powder, or a finger that could travel through time? What would you prefer?
Just finger.
Just your finger. So you can go back and you can sort of see around the finger, so you can see where you are. You can set coordinates so that the... it's interesting, you're not in the tit talc, you just accept. but you'll be able to... only your finger or a finger-shaped object could go through. So you could do minor thing like poke people or, you know... flick a switch.
You could definitely a finger can pull a trigger.
Yeah,
so I could change history.
You could, yeah.
Yeah, whereas I don't really use talc.
Okay.
So,
but you could, you know, you could use that for. I think with a tit talc, you know, you could use that for good as a sort of superhero. Where if you saw a woman going into a coffee shop with a baby going to the changing rooms, and they go, "Oh, I can just knock on the door, go, do you need any more talc? Because I've got something," and you do it, and it would fly out.
I mean, it's a gift. Certainly,
can I make some talc go from my breast?
If you'd have said Ribena, I probably would have been in, but not talc.
Ribena, that'd be quite nice. It'd be nice to have the choice, wouldn't it, of what was in there?
But with a finger, you could write yourself a check and then take it back.
With your finger?
Well, if you put ink in it.
I think. What would you write yourself a cheque for? Mm. What, from the future?
Money.
Yeah, but where are you getting the money from? You got.
Look, I've not.
Yeah, I mean, you could write a cheque with your finger now.
but you could steal someone's.
You could give someone a cheque from the past. No, it doesn't work.
It's so stupid anyway.
You could get a finger to pick the lottery numbers.
Yes, things like
that. Like their own giant finger.
No one uses talc apart from old people.
It's obviously the finger is the best one, but sometimes you've got to give an obvious choice.
Okay.
I just thought I would ask, because that was about a finger, that song. It was a nice song. And what have you got coming up in your future world?
Oh, well, I've got, like, I'm writing a little sitcom.
Are you?
Writing a little sitcom. It's not been, you know, as we all know, these things take a long time.
They really do.
It's in a development stage, though.
Is it? Do you want to say what it's about or not? Is it too secret?
Because I might have to change it. It's high concept, so I might have to change it. But I've got two very good actresses on board as my two leads, which are Anna Crilly and Katie Wicks.
Oh, yes, we love them. They're so great.
They're good. And then I'm also writing a drama, which isn't even funny.
Wow.
Which has got a slight sci-fi bent to it.
Cool.
Which has been inspired by Mars One and all their shenanigans.
Okay.
Yeah.
But, nice.
Because that one's just in very early stages, so I don't want to give too much.
Don't give anything.
Someone
don't give anyway.
Listening to FUBAR might steal my idea, so it's Hollywood.
No one's listening. So do you Is that what you want to get? Do you want to just be mainly a writer now? Is that where you're moving into, or are you going to carry on?
I identify as a writer.
Yeah.
I have an office. Do I've got you? An office down the road. It's really good. Yeah. I do, because people used to go, oh, what do you like better, writing or stand-up? And I used to go, I like both, but I really hated stand-up. I really love writing.
I found when I was about 10 years ago, when I wasn't doing, I'd stopped performing really, and I was just writing, and I was mainly, to be honest, writing about penises. So it wasn't, I was writing Talking Cock, and I was writing a film about a man getting a sexually transmitted disease.
And you were researching it as well, weren't you? I was. Pretty hard.
Well, weirdly, I could tell you a story about it. I might do in a sec.
Please
but
do.
I found it was just, I was getting too lonely, and I found the writing too much, and I need that little bit of performance. I think as long as I'm performing a little bit, I'm happy.
I know you mean.
You're as happy as a little sand boy when you're performing.
I am.
Your little face is all lit up. Looks.
But as long as I don't mind where it is, and it can be in a little club somewhere. As long as I get to do that every now and again, I'm happy, and then
same,
I can go back.
Because off stage you're really moody, aren't you? In real life,
I
and
am.
Then when you're on stage, you're beaming away like
I think too much of a show off. That's what it is. And I imagine that I would never stop performing, but I really like playing the bass. I'd love to do more music. That's really good.
Yeah.
But just, I just got to the point with stand-up, I couldn't do it anymore. And also, I've got this like genetic condition called Ehlers-Danlos syndrome, which means my connective tissue doesn't do the proper things. And I'd got to a point where my coccyx had slipped so far out of position that I couldn't be in a car for longer than half an hour. And so I couldn't travel.
I'm sorry, I shouldn't laugh. I just knew I'm not allowed to laugh at this, but then it also had the word coccyx in it. And that was, it was just the ability. It was the combination of, I must, this is really serious, and the word coccyx.
Yeah.
I mean, if they did that, if they went, you know, there's been a terrible, in 9/11, the planes have flown into the building and everyone coccyx has fallen out.
Oh, no.
That they said that, you would laugh, wouldn't you? That's the thing.
No.
You're still like, despite the terrible things, I'm very sorry.
I had physiotherapy for my coccyx, which was in my last Edinburgh show, and it involved a lady putting her finger up my arse and
I
had to pull the coccyx back into position.
I would like that. I've had a similar thing.
Rich is going to try and break his coccyx now.
Can you just have a little feel of my coccyx now, just to see if it's all right? Do you know? apparently that's inappropriate. I'm sorry. Apparently I've overstepped. I've overstepped the DLT. That's the line.
He was asking if he could just jiggle my breast at any point.
I was just checking. I wasn't asking if I could. I was just saying. I was setting the boundaries because radio presenters used to do that thing without asking, and I'm asking.
Oh,
that's
so
taken out of context. Do you write with other people, or do you just?
I've started writing with other people. I'm writing a radio sitcom with someone.
Mm.
Really. I like the idea of writing with other people, and then I'm a big control freak, and I go, well, I'm just going to rewrite, because your sentence structure is really poor, so I'm just going to change that, and that joke's a bit... But I'd like to write with more people, but...
I think that helps, because, although it depends, you've got to like the person you're working with, and then you know, familiarity breeds contempt.
For me, showrunning would be the big... I'd love to be a showrunner.
Right.
So even, like, with this sitcom, when I went in, I said, like, I've written the first script, but I'd want to showrun. I don't want to write every episode. I want to be the king of the series.
Yes. Well, it's nice. I mean, I've got so many ideas for sitcoms. That's what I would like to do. You know, if you could only get them up and running, but that's what happens. You have a successful one, hopefully, and then the 10 I've got in the drawer that have been rejected in the past will hopefully come back out again. But we will... see about that. Well, we're coming up to the end of the second hour, so that's it. It went fast in the end, didn't it?
It was all right, wasn't it?
So we had a good time. It was fun. So will my posse please give it up for my guest, Danielle Ward? Thank you very much for coming in. That was lovely. It's time to press A or 1.
Oh.
It's red on the screen and green on the button. I'm just saying, this is the National. Hope you enjoy listening to them. They're graceless. That is what they have chosen to call this song. And it's their choice.
FUBAR Radio.
We're on FUBAR Radio. This is Richard Herring. I'm joined by Lou Sanders.
Call me Luli. Everybody does.
Luli. I'm not going to do that. And you can't call me Dickie. These are the rules. And that was fantastic. Danielle Ward, she's lovely, isn't she?
Yeah,
the chats we had when the records were playing were better, though, weren't they?
They were.
That's always the way.
And when she went, we had the best chat. I mean, with her.
Yeah. When she went.
When she went, it was great. No, when we were talking.
Yeah, it was good. The thing I was going to say when I wrote that film, I was writing a film which is similar to there's a sitcom coming out called Scrotal Recall, which is the same idea, basically, about a guy having to go. And I pitched this as a sitcom, and then someone else did it in the end. But it's about a guy having to go back to all the people he slept with in order to tell them about sexually transmitted
disease.
Was
it Jeff Leach?
It was actually based on Ben Wool had did a routine about this. But I came up with the idea. Really good idea for a film called I Don't Know Who I Did Last Summer. That's a especially 10
brilliant.
Years ago.
That is brilliant.
But then I started writing this film, and it was based on Glenn Moore's routine. And Glenn Moore's routine is about him discovering a true story about him discovering him getting a spot on his penis that he doesn't know what it is, and then he has to go to the doctors, and the doctors don't know what it is, and then they do a biopsy, and they take off a little bit of the thing to test it. So he has to stitch put in his penis, and then it comes back, and it wasn't even a sexually transmitted disease in the end, but whatever. So he has to go around and tell everyone about this.
Yeah.
As I was writing this film, I was kind of not doing very well with it and getting a bit haunted by it. And then I was having a shower, and then I noticed a sort of strange lump on my penis. And I went through the exact same thing. And I had to go, I had a biopsy, I had to put a stitch on my penis, which is an interest. So it was very good research for the film that I never end up writing. Yeah. But it was also terrifying, because it was like I was, you know, the Medusa touch or something. I was writing a script, and it was then happening to me in real life, which has happened a few times to me in those kind of things. And again, it turned out to be nothing, because I was actually in a happy relationship at the time, so it was sort of a weird
thing. She might have been playing around.
She might have been. Well, that's the problem. That's what I start.
You don't
you start
know
to
these
think.
Bitches, do
so you? Have to, you never know. You can't trust anyone. Human beings are largely untrustworthy, and
there's
that's fine.
There's a stranger looking at us through the glass window. It's really
Jared,
weird.
It's Jared Christmas.
Oh,
he's a fellow presenter. Yeah. Shall I take you through some of the other presenters? Take you some.
I didn't recognise.
Do you want to know some of the other presenters in the you can listen
please.
To? It's got a radio
no.
show.
No, that's a surprise. You're not allowed to say that.
Oh no, we'll take that off. Barry from Watford has got.
He's been fired.
Jared Christmas has got a.
He's just quit.
Oh no, it's all gone wrong. Ellie Taylor's got one.
She's nice.
I don't know if we're allowed to say, but we said now, so if it'll go out, if it goes out. Look, we'll get over this embarrassment. That was Jared Christmas. If you heard him. I'm doing a show called Meaning of Life, which I'm doing every month, and at the Leicester Square Theatre, and then it's going out for free on Vimeo.com.
How's it going?
It's going right well, actually. Yeah, it's coming together. So you can check that out online. But each week I'm going to do a little bit from it just to entertain you. And this is a nice bit of it, a nice package of from about love. So hope you enjoy this, and we can have a rest.
Richard Terry's
Now, this section is Richard Herring's Meaning of Life, where I took a look at a big subject from the world and tried to come up with some answers. I'm actually doing an internet video show of this idea, which will be up on vimeo.com/channel/RHMOL very soon. We're doing a different subject each week on that, but I thought I'd do a little bit of material each week here on our show as well. It tries to answer all the big questions, like how many weeks would you have to attend Roman Catholic Holy Communion before you'd eaten an entire Jesus? Questions like that. But I thought this week, seeing we've just had Valentine's Day, we would look at love. So I'm going to attempt to answer the question that many centuries worth of wise men, scientists, philosophers, and Howard Jones and Hadaway have failed to answer. What is love? Is it just a chemical reaction in our brains by which our subconscious lets us know who we should be procreating with? Or is there some kind of mystical force guiding us unerringly to our one true soulmate? And if so, why does that force always choose to make us meet our soulmate when we're pissed out by the bins at a nightclub? That is the vortex it generally operates in. If you're looking for love at home, I'm sure some of you are. Poets have tried to describe love with words, but only Wendy Craig came close, the actress Wendy Craig. According to her, love is like a butterfly. It has wings and antennae, and it emerges from a kind of chrysalis structure, as in often in danger of being eaten by birds. Oh no, hold on, that's a moth. A moth is like a butterfly. That's what Wendy was trying to say, I think. You got that right. I love my God, my Queen, and my fellow countrymen, and I can tell you it's a bugger trying to juggle it so they don't find out about each other. But anyway, we're going to have a look at some of the history's most famous lovers. Oedipus, of course, so loved his mum that he killed his father and fucked her. Most mums prefer it if you just help round the house a bit. Flowers on Mother's Day. Maybe a homemade spice rack. That's really only as far as you need to go with your own mum. Van Gogh's idea of how to get the woman he loved to love him back was to slice off one of his ears and send that to her in the post. Now, most women will prefer flowers or chocolates or a homemade spice rack. But for 1 in 1,000 women, the surprise severed ear arriving by mail is the key to their knickers. You're taking a bit of a gamble, fellas. It's 1 in 1,000. It's a bit of a risk, but imagine if you get the right one. She'll open up the envelope and go, "What? Brilliant. I've always wanted one of these. I'm definitely going to shag whoever sent me this." He shouldn't be difficult to find. Do be careful, though, fellas. It is a technique you can really only use twice. So do use that sparingly. Don't go throwing those ears away willy-nilly. To be honest, you can really only use it once, because the second time you do it, the woman's going to go, "You've done this before, haven't you? This is your regular chat-up line. I'm not falling for that like that other ear slag." St. Valentine is the patron saint of making sad, lonely people feel like shit. Because it's not enough they feel like that all the time. There has to be a special day set aside to really rub it in their faces. Do we even need a day for lovers? Isn't every day their day? How about a day for all the lost souls who don't have anyone to love? I've long been campaigning for February the 15th to be declared St. Skeletor's Day, which is devoted to the destruction of love. If anyone's seen holding hands on this unholy day, you're allowed to push them in a puddle. Anyone who's had sex that calendar year gets put in solitary confinement. If there's someone you really hate, you can send them an elaborate, expensive and anonymous card going into details of why you think they're such a meatus, which is the aperture at the end of the penis. I'm sure you're aware of that. But the real selling point is, if you're in a relationship you're not happy about, on St. Skeletor's Day, you're allowed to just walk away for it. No explanations, no repercussions. I have got into quite an odd situation on Valentine's Day myself. I'm married now, which is an amazing thing. I got married a couple of years ago. I always thought I'd probably get married one day. I never dreamt I'd be married for 2 whole years. It's insane. But my wife is an amazing woman. She's way too good for me. She's very beautiful. She's intelligent. She's funny. I don't know what she sees in me. It proves that love isn't only blind, it's deaf and has no sense of smell or touch and is stupid. But when we first met, she was a very interesting woman. The things she thinks and says are very unusual. That's what kind of attracted me to her initially. One of the first conversations we had, she told me she had a list of things she wanted to achieve in her life, like a bucket list, 30 things to do before you die, like climb Mount Kilimanjaro, do a parachute jump. There were things like that on her list. But the third thing she told me about on her list of things to achieve in her life was to build a pyramid out of Ferrero Rocher chocolates, like they have on the Ambassador's Reception advert on TV. That's her third lifetime ambition. To even think of wanting to do that at all, I thought was incredible. But if that's one of your lifetime ambitions, wouldn't that be incredibly easy to achieve? All you'd have to do is buy some Ferrero Rocher chocolates and borrow a tray. Bang, that's that one ticked off. Let's look into parachute lessons. Come on, we're not getting any younger. Let's move this along. So the fact it was an unfulfilled ambition, that's what really did it for me. The fact she wanted to do that, but she couldn't be bothered. Anyway, when our first Valentine's Day came along, we'd only been together for a couple of weeks. It was too early to make a massive gesture. It'd been a difficult journey getting there. It could actually derail everything. What if she hadn't even got me a card? She hadn't got me a card, as it happened. So what we did instead, what I did instead on that day, I bought her a single Ferrero Rocher chocolate with a note attached saying, "If we're still together next Valentine's Day, as I hope and believe we will be, I'll buy you another Ferrero Rocher chocolate. I'll keep buying you Ferrero Rocher chocolates every Valentine's Day we share. If this relationship lasts as long as I know it's going to, eventually I'll have enough chocolates to build that pyramid and fulfil your ambition." Yeah, it's quite nice, isn't it? Yeah, listen and learn, fellas. That is the key. Obviously, that would take quite a long time. By the time she had enough chocolates to build the pyramid, the early one she'd be keeping in a tin for 50 years would be mouldy and desiccated, probably crumble to dust as she touched them like something from Miss Havisham's feast. But it's a romantic gesture. But as a romantic gesture, that meant I had to keep doing it. I couldn't just get to the second Valentine's Day and go, "Didn't mean it. Thought it was a cute thing to say. Thought you might give me a blowjob." That would be the same as saying I don't love you anymore. I wanted to do this. I thought it was a nice idea. But the second Valentine's Day, I thought, well, let's speed this along a little bit so she can build this pyramid before I'm an old, old man, mouldy and desiccated myself. So the second Valentine's Day, I got 2 Ferrero Rocher chocolates. So she's now got a total of 3 Ferrero Rocher chocolates. She can't eat them. She's put them in a tin waiting to build the pyramid. She's got to save them up. The third Valentine's Day, I had to make quite an important decision. Was I buying the number of Ferrero Rocher chocolates equal to the number of Valentine's Days we'd shared? That would be 3. Or was I doubling the Ferrero Rocher chocolates on a year-on-year basis? It was at this point I made a foolish decision, which didn't fully take into account the power of exponential mathematics. I thought, let's speed this along a little bit. Give her a chance to build the pyramid. I got her 4 chocolates. She's now got 7 chocolates. But the convention's been established. There must be chocolates every Valentine's Day, and they must double every Valentine's Day. If the next year I just got her 4 chocolates again, she'd have said, "Oh, I notice your love hasn't doubled this year." Then that'd be the end of the relationship. So the next year I got her 8 Ferrero Rocher chocolates. She's now got 15 Ferrero Rocher chocolates at this point. Not enough to build the pyramid, but she was well on the way. But it was going to make the years to come very interesting. The next year I had to get 16 Ferrero Rocher chocolates. The next year, 32. Last Valentine's, just last week, I had to buy her 64 Ferrero Rocher chocolates. She now has 127 Ferrero Rocher chocolates in a tin in various states of decay, which, to be honest, is probably enough to build quite an impressive pyramid. Doesn't mean I can stop. The convention's been established. There must be chocolates every year. They must double every year. The next year, 128 chocolates, then 256, then 512. In 2020, I'll be buying 2,048 Ferrero Rocher chocolates. If we're still together 10 years after that, 2,097,152 unpleasant-tasting, gold-wrapped, testicle-shaped sweetmeats. To add to the 2,097,151 chocolates she's been storing in a huge variety of containers all over the house, tins and casserole dishes, basins. There'll be barfuls of the stuff. Some rotten, some relatively fresh. This romantic gesture is going to bankrupt me. There is literally no way out of it now. I've got three options. I've thought this through. There's only three possible things I can do. My first option, this is the most honourable one of this is the one I'm probably going to do, is to kill myself. As long as my Ferrero Rocher obligation has been fulfilled at the point of suicide, everyone will be happy. Did he at least buy the correct number of Ferrero Rocher chocolates last Valentine's Day? He did. That must be some comfort to you. It is a comfort. The second option is just keep buying the chocolates until our house is so full of Ferrero Rocher chocolates that the roof explodes and they shoot up the chimney like in a cartoon. My third option is to divorce my wife. It would seem a shame to end the most successful relationship of my life merely because I'd failed to understand the nature of maths. I've got two A-levels in that subject as well. I should know better. By 2030, my reckoning, she'll have well over 40 million... she'll have well over 4 million Ferrero Rocher chocolates. I think that might be enough Ferrero Rocher chocolates to build a full-size, full-scale pyramid of Giza-sized pyramid that we could actually live inside, which would at least solve the storage issues. The problem with that, of course, is the next year we'll have two full-size pyramids. The year after that, there'll be four, then eight. It won't be long before we've got 2 million full-size Ferrero Rocher pyramids dotted around the countryside. My whole life will become dedicated to earning enough money to buy the land to build next year's 4 million pyramids, paying people to raise the existing buildings on the land, that land to the ground, paying to rehouse the Ferrero Rocher refugees, as they will become known, to move them to a new homeland, paying people to build structurally sound, inhabitable pyramids out of chocolate, paying people just to make the Ferrero Rocher chocolates in the first place. Think how many hazelnuts that will require. The whole of the world's agriculture will be dedicated to just one nut. I won't be able to afford this. I'll have to enslave the nation and then the world in a grotesque confectionery parody of the way the original pyramids were built. On the plus side, Ferrero Rocher are going to do pretty well out of this. I'd buy some shares now if I were you. It's the only way to avoid the Ferrero Rocher serfdom of 2060. You can buy your way out. The point is that love is all well and good, but I suppose romantic love is all well and good, but you know, maybe true love is more prosaic than that. It's about making things work on a day-to-day level. It's about trading off. It's about making compromises. It's about forgetting about these grand gestures. In a sense, that's less romantic, isn't it? And maybe the fact that we make these relationships work, that's more romantic. I don't know. I did that routine about 5 years ago, the first time my wife saw it. She said, I love the Ferrero Rocher routine, because that's a true story. She said, was I supposed to keep all of the chocolates? Because you know the ones you bought me this year? I ate all of those. I said, what do you mean you ate them? You meant to save them and build the pyramid. He said, I didn't understand. I said, what part of it didn't you understand? That was the whole point of what we were doing. There's nothing I can do. If I'd screwed this up, I'd be in the doghouse for months. Because it's the woman, you have to just suck it up and eat it up, fellas. That's what are you doing? You're building the Ferrero Rocher pyramid in your stomach now. Is that your new ambition? Are you shitting out Ferrero Rocher chocolate shit and moulding that to a gigantic feces pyramid that's made only out of shit that you've shit directly after you've eaten Ferrero Rocher chocolates? Because to be honest, I didn't spot that on your original list of ambitions.
FUBAR, giving radio the finger.
Yep.
Yeah, that's that. So we got to the second segment of the last hour.
We did
and
it.
We all got know there. What that means. It means it's time for us to look at the news.
Well, that's news to me. News time.
Yeah,
I hadn't heard that something, before. That's it? Good. So we've been looking through the internets and the newspapers for stories that are interested us. What's caught your satirical eye?
Well, this one I think you'll like. Oh, yeah. A woman cuts off her tattoo and sends to her ex-boyfriend.
Ooh.
She's just scalped it out without any anaesthetic.
No way.
I think it's dangerous.
So it's a tattoo of what? Of
her ex-boyfriend's name. Oh. And he said he was going to. She's 26 and. I mean, do you know, it's quite good that she's managed to get the whole thing off. We could have that as a feature for What's in the Bag, couldn't we? and she sent it to her ex-boyfriend. Her ex-boyfriend, he said he was going away to do his dream job in Alaska or something.
Yeah.
And really, he was going to shack up with this other woman.
Oh, that's not on, is it? It would just be on. If you're going to do that, just be honest. Don't make up a dream job in Alaska.
He didn't want to hurt her.
Well, that's more hurtful, though. He's hurt her more, hasn't he? And literally, because she's had to chop off a big bit of her skin. Which is, it's foolish to put the name of anyone you love in ink on your body.
Yes, and it's even more foolish to cut it off when there's laser surgery.
Yeah, that is also true.
What is she proving? Like, because it's no skin off his nose. Bungo, that's a pun.
It's cutting off part of her arm. Where was it? On her bum?
Her arm, yeah.
Her arm, that's not so bad.
Cutting off, look at it. I know this is a radio show, but I just want you to look at it.
I don't like things like this.
And it's horrible.
Oh, no. But she's also a woman with lots of piercings in her face. I have a feeling she might quite like cutting bits of herself off.
For punishment.
Some people like pain. I do not even like looking at pictures of injuries.
I worry about her self-esteem, and I hope she's okay, because I worry for this lady. I've gone really serious now. I'm actually really worried about her.
But you never know. You never know what's going to happen with someone. What if you end up getting married to Dr. Harold Shipman or something? You're really in love with him.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, you say, oh, I'm going to tattoo Dr. Harold Shipman on my face.
Yeah.
I'm going to put his name and also his face on my face because I love him so much. And then it turns out he's killed loads of people. Then you're walking around with Dr. Harold Shipman written across your face with his face, and people are going to go, you've done that after you... They're going to think you've done it as a tribute to his murders rather than because you loved him. So you've got to think very carefully about these things.
What about that song, Stand By Your Man? Maybe you should just stand by your man.
Stand by them, yeah. And then if you don't like them, stop standing by them, and then that doesn't hurt.
I don't think in the history of tattoos anyone's ever got someone else's face on their face.
Well, I should do. If you really love someone, I'm hoping by the end of this, when we've been working together for a long time, you'll get my face tattooed on your face. That's what I'm hoping.
It's a not strong as a, possibility.
Not as a romantic thing, just as out of respect for my broadcasting skills.
I don't think that's going to happen.
Well, no, but, you know, no one thinks it's going to happen. I hope it's going to happen. And, you know, it might happen.
I got a tattoo once when I was 15.
Did you?
And what I wanted was this massive flower around my stomach that I designed myself. It was so hideous. And it had my astrological glimpse in every petal. It had, like, Aquarius rising, Sagittarius sun sign. Oh, it was so bad.
And what's happened to that tattoo?
Big Dom, it was in Ramsgate, Dom's tattooist.
Yeah.
And thank the Lord, he said, oh, that's really nice, but I don't think you can have that done because your stomach will get, like, bigger and it will... And he politely sort of made me... And I was really disappointed. I was like, oh, no, I had my heart set on this. And then I got a little daisy on my toe because I was in the mood for a tattoo. Yeah. And he's HIV positive. But he just, puts a sign up on the wall. And who would care? He's such a great guy.
Good.
I mean, the flower rubbed off. Why did I need to mention he was HIV positive? You're looking at me as if to say, yeah, I mean...
Does he know that's the... As long as he knows that he is, this is... You haven't revealed this on the radio.
Right. Yeah.
As everyone who's slept with me.
The winner of the HIV competition this week is Dom from Ramsgate. Congratulations.
Well, I have a story which the BBC have changed the headline on this. Yesterday, I just liked it because I'm childish, but also because someone at the BBC is clearly childish. Because there was a headline with something like giant poo flushed down a toilet or something like that. And then stuck in the sewer.
Yeah.
And what it is in Scotland, they've listed all the things that have been flushed down toilets. And one of them is a gigantic Winnie the Pooh, the doll. So someone's flushed that. Someone's flushed a large, like a Winnie the Pooh that I think you would win at a fair. It's with that kind of size.
Yeah.
But, you know, the BBC, and it was the most clicked BBC site of the day. Because of the poo down the toilet thing. So that's quite funny. I mean, it's hard to resist when you see a poo down a toilet not to make that joke. But it is also kind of weird what the things that people have flushed down the toilet. So people have flushed a large... I mean, why would you flush a Winnie the Pooh down the toilet? It's not an accident, is it? You've got to... You're really about to stuff that down there. It's very big. Going, oh, God, I hate this Winnie the Pooh.
Yeah.
Well, should we throw it in a bin? The binman won't take that.
Yeah, it is weird. Or maybe it's kid dropped it and then they got in trouble. So they thought they were getting in trouble, so they just...
I mean, a kid might have just seen what happened by stuffing it down. That's what children do. Or maybe it got some wee on it and people thought, I'm not going to touch that.
Yeah.
Maybe there was some poo on it. That would have been better.
Maybe they just were thinking of the headline and they thought, hang on a minute.
When they find this, the BBC are going to have a field day.
Or maybe it's the person that wanted to write the headline and get his next break. Yeah. He knew that.
I wouldn't put that beyond journalists. But also other things that have been flushed down the toilet in Scotland. It's funny that it's Scotland.
Yeah.
Is a bike.
No, that is
a bicycle. Well,
a mini bicycle.
A fax machine. jeans.
What? How big are toilets in?
And a snake were amongst a host of bizarre items found in Scotland sewers last year. Scottish Water said it dealt with 40,000 blockages in the drains and new sewers network. Most of them were caused by people putting things like cooking oil, nappies and baby wipes down sinks and toilets.
Big no-nos.
Don't put a nappy down a toilet. Don't put baby wipes down the toilet. Although they, you know, they're these new things that are like baby wipes for your anus.
Oh yeah, tell me more.
Have you seen these? The
I'd like to know everything
they're
about.
They're like wet toilet. I actually quite like them.
Yeah,
you
I
know,
noticed that.
Oh yeah, but they you flush those. They're flushable.
Oh good.
But I don't think baby wipes are flushable.
Well, I mean, by the way, when I say that, notice that sounds so dirty.
You noticed,
I just didn't mean.
I noticed your anus was fresh.
I mean, there's going to be a lot of questions. I mean, I've been to your house.
Yeah, and we
and
do
I
have
know,
them.
You know, there's we like
have, I don't use. I used to use them all the time. I don't really use them anymore.
I mean,
not all the time.
You'd like a fresh bum.
When my bottom was dirty. I just found it helped clean the bottom sure. better than paper.
Yeah.
And I think people in the continent think we're insane. I mean, they have bidets in France. Yeah. They use the like fountain of water to
that
clean.
That is why this country has gone to the dogs. Not yeah. enough bidets.
It is. Though weirdly, when I was on holiday and I was skiing, we had an ensuite bathroom in our chalet room, but it didn't have a toilet in it. It just had a bidet in it.
Oh.
It had a bidet and a bath.
Oh.
But what's the point of having a bidet?
If you're going
to
win it.
Well, there isn't a toilet there, so yeah. you can't.
Oh, yeah.
You would have had to go to the toilet and then sort of walk from the toilet to the thing and then wash your bottom in the. You know, that's kind of weird.
Yeah.
And you just know that everyone who stayed in that room was weeding that bidet because you're not going to go to the toilet. I know, I fucking did. And I really enjoyed it because that showed the French.
There's just the thought of someone sat on a bidet. It's so undignified and someone coming in and you're just having a little rinse around your bits. It's not a nice
thing. I guess you can use it just as a general, you know, whore's bath, as they call it.
Yeah.
Just, you know, if you need your bits just freshened up.
And we all do it certain times.
The wife goes, Richard, it's today. We're going to have sex today. This is like our yearly sex. I go, oh, I wish my penis wasn't dripping in urine and sweat.
The thing is about that. If it is a yearly event, you could probably afford a shower to go for it.
There wasn't time. There's a very tight schedule. So I was just seeing if there's anything else. There's lots of pictures. There's a pair of jeans that caused a blockage at Strathblane in Stirlingshire. What those jeans they were? Who put their jeans down the toilet?
Well, I don't think they did it down the toilet. They must have done it down the sewer. Oh, no.
Well, no, but it goes via the toilet. Stuart Lee once, when we were driving, when we did the... he's now kind of an esteemed opera director and stand-up. But we used to double act with each other. And once we were driving to, I believe it was Cheltenham.
Yeah.
At Cheltenham College, and he pooed himself in the car as he was driving. Well, he had, you know, he had diarrhoea, but he had to drive, and then he actually pooed himself during the drive. I don't think he would mind me telling this story. And and then when he got to Cheltenham College, he kind of went to the loo to kind of clear himself up, and he thought, well, I'll just get rid of the pants, and he put the pants in the cistern of one of the toilets. So he didn't flush them down the toilet. That's kind of worse.
That is worse.
Because then they're just in the cistern, so they'll be there as you're... people are flushing the toilet with his pooey pants in there. And then I bet they're still there. Yeah, I mean, you know, who discovered that?
That's
Stuart Lee did that.
Some of your life choices you don't stick by after. You'll make mistakes, and that is...
Hopefully that'll get in the papers. Have you got... did you have another story, or was that your only story?
It's on the similar tip, actually. It's on the vibe. Man sends company cat poo. I'll just read it out.
Yeah.
No one likes rejection, but this might be taking things a little too far. Javon's Brown, funny their second name's Brown, from St. Louis, became so fed up at his unsuccessful job applications that he decided to send companies that rejected him packages containing cat poo.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
The 50-year-old veteran sent a total of 20 unpleasant bundles before he was caught. Mr. Brown later admitted his guilt and was given 24 months in probation.
No.
Yes.
He shouldn't be sent.
He said, I'm sorry, this will never happen again. Well, I mean, you can't really do it from jail. And also, they'll know it's him.
Do you have human poo from jail?
You could.
I suppose it would be hard to get it through the censors. I think Sharon Osbourne, I think, I'm not 100% sure about this, but I think Sharon Osbourne used to send poos to people who she didn't like.
Yeah, I remember.
For bad reviews and things.
Yeah.
I think they were her own poos, which is, you know, they'd be worth something
Whoa.
Now.
Oh. Yeah.
This is before she was on the Osbournes. I mean, they're probably...
That is psychopathic behaviour. Like, that is...
It's a revenge. It's good. You know, it's not very nice, is it? So there you go. Bang. It's better than a bomb, isn't it? So, you know, the IRA sending bombs in the post. That is... If you're going, what should I do? Send some cat poo or a bomb? Have a think and go, well, I'll send some cat poo. I mean, don't do either, but if you're going to send a bomb, think again and say, well, I'll just send some cat poo. That'll send a message.
Richard, forgiveness is a very powerful tool. The thing is, his cat probably thinks he's a weirdo. Why is he picking up all this?
My cats are obsessed. Whenever I go to clean the letter trays, my cats get very interested in that. And really? They must think, why? What the hell are you doing?
Why are you going?
I bet they're thinking you're going to post that to someone. I just put mine in the bin, and anyone who says I don't know, I've sent them.
I mean. With the TV knockbacks, there'd be a lot of packages. There's a lot in postage.
It would be a lot. It would be a terrible thing. So if anyone from the BBC gets a poo in the post, who's recently rejected one of my scripts, it's nothing to do with me. I am innocent. So here we go. We're going to have some Vampire Weekend now.
Oh, I love them.
Well, it's good because we're going to play Worship You. They worship you. You love them.
Yeah. Only in the way you want it. Only on the day you want it. Only with the understand. I never seen a day you want it.
Fubar, radio worth paying for.
There they were, Vampire Weekend, like them.
I do like them, but that's my least favourite song.
Okay. So that's you're just covering yourself because in case people thought they weren't very good.
I mean, that wasn't a great song, but they are brilliant.
Yeah, okay. Well, that's a nice review of their work. We'll do some more news. It's mainly scatological-based news. This is the news you don't get anywhere else apart from, obviously, we've got it all out of the newspapers.
Well, that's news to me. News time.
It's interesting in the news. So the news in today, which is Tuesday, but it's Thursday, is that Bridget Christie, who won the Foster's Comedy Award in Edinburgh, has quite an amusing thing has happened. She used to do a character based on King Charles II, where she dressed up as King Charles II, and the Daily Mail has illustrated an article about King Charles II with a photograph of Bridget Christie dressed as King Charles II on a horse, which, you know, is amusing for quite a lot of reasons. Mm-hmm. Partly because they didn't have photographs in King Charles II's day, so that should have tipped them off, really. And also she is a woman with a drawn-on moustache. So it looks it looks quite like her. And, you know, she's superimposed herself into a picture that is a painting, but it's clearly still a photo.
Yeah.
So that is kind of embarrassing for the Mail. She used to work for the Mail as well. She did a brilliant show. I'm a big fan of Bridget Christie's work.
Yeah, she's amazing.
Although her husband does odd things with his pants. I don't know if she knows about them. She's married to Stuart Lee, if you didn't know. She did a show about working for the Daily Mail. She used to work for the Daily Mail.
Yes, In fact,
and so then the Daily Mail have made this mistake. It's kind of almost too good to be true.
Yeah, brilliant.
She says, this is the best thing that's ever happened to me, both personally or professionally. That must be including her marriage and the birth of her two children. The more you think about it, the better it gets. Firstly, I'd have thought that the picture editor would have noticed it's a photograph of an actual person's face, not a painting. And secondly, look at the costume, just some old curtains crudely cut up. It's such a contrast to the genuine portrait on the same page. Someone should have noticed, but really, I suppose he's meant to be in battle. The other thing, it's obviously a woman with a moustache drawn on. So she said the same things as I did. But I hadn't read that until just then. So that is the other news. Let's have a look at some of the stories. We've got some stories coming in from people, what they've done for the first time. I've got one from Jeffrey. For the first time this month, I, and indeed in my life, I'm to be a father. I'm expecting a little baby boy on Sunday or shortly afterwards. The little shit has caused nothing but problems.
I think he's going to be a great dad.
as he's over 3 weeks late now and causing my wife the most uncomforting pain. Oh. And unlike that comforting pain that you get sometimes. We have tried all the natural ways to get the wanker out of her sex. That's an odd thing to say about it. We tried all things to get the wanker out. Sex is one of the things they've tried.
Sure.
And he's complaining.
Yeah.
I'd love to have sex with a heavily pregnant woman.
No.
My wife won't let it. Let me do it. Spicy foods, blasting red hot chili peppers up her vagina.
That
wouldn't be allowed.
Vagina.
I mean, I think that is, you know, that's all capitalised, so I don't think they've been blasting red hot chili peppers up her vagina. I think they've been blasting the band Red Hot Chili Peppers.
Yes.
But I approve of that use because that is, you know, it's sort of like when they used to play music to Noriega and stuff when he was in his compound, and they would play awful music to make you come out.
Yes.
So in a way, but then I think if you had that, if I was a baby and I was in a womb and they're playing Red Hot Chili Peppers into the womb, I'd go, I'm not going out there because the music they have is terrible.
Yeah.
I'll stay near the music of my mother's beating heart and in swirling internal organs.
Sure.
That's what I would do. Anyway, we will induce my wife to get the bugger out. I cannot wait to meet him, so I can.
Well, I bet he can wait to meet you with that sort of shitty language.
Andy McCaich has been in touch.
He's a friend of the show.
He's a friend of the show, even though this is our first show. I ate a prawn for the first time this year. This is the second person who's the first time they've been to. All seafood that doesn't look like a fish creeps me out. But I got tired of my friends going on and on about how amazing prawns were, so I ate one. I wonder, what do you think? Do you think he would like it or not like it?
I think he didn't like it.
Okay. It was okay. So it was one of the little pink maggoty ones. Mm. And I'm now quite happy to wolf down a few prawns if they're put in front of me.
I'm quite happy to wolf them down. I mean, I shan't be giving him prawns. I'm very ungracious.
I still can't deal with the leggy, insecty ones. They totally disgust me. Good luck in your new radio entire.
Yep.
And good luck in your new radio entire. And lots of love to Lou.
Aww.
See,
friend of the show.
See, people like you. Have you got any ones
Yeah, I've got
there?
One, I've got one. Dear Richard Herring, this month, for the first time ever, I responded to an online plea for listener stories for a radio pilot. I think they were after something funny, but I didn't fulfil this criteria. If they'd have said please in the request, I might have at least made some token effort adding some sort of humour. But they didn't, so I couldn't be asked. So that is a dig at you.
Yeah, I think that's rude.
And he's a sucker for the word please. And do you know what the irony is? He hasn't said thank you or signed off with any nice sign off. So do you know what, Mark Tiernan?
No.
I hope you have a nice day.
Me too.
I haven't got it in me to be mean.
Helen Pahl went to Vietnam, Cambodia and Thailand for the first time ever in January 2014. Do you think that she went the first time to all three of them or the first time to all of them?
All of them.
Okay. Even did a Lara Croft pose at Ta Prom. Different.
Yeah.
Well, look, I'm interested in one of your features that we haven't yet done, Lou's house. So I'm going to allow Lou's house to happen now. I hope you are ready for it. Here's your jingle, which, remember, Lou has made most of these jingles. To even can tell which one she's made and which one are made by Fuba.
House music. Also, I need a house.
Lou's house. What's this about?
Right, I need a house.
Yeah.
Now, I'm a feminist, don't get me wrong. I'm one of the honeys working hard for my monies. But, and I buy my own shoes most of the time. All of the time, because I'm now single. But also, I did it because also I'm one of feminist.
Are you having a breakdown? No. Are you all right? Do we need to play a record? Just let me know. Just hold up your hand if you're going to have a breakdown.
Listen, Virginia Woolf said that every woman should have a room of her own.
Yes.
And you see my writing, I need a house of my own. So, this is a little feature where it's like wish fulfillment. I'm just applying to the universe for a house. I need a house.
Okay.
And
so how are we going to get you a house?
Well, I'll do something for, like, people can... I mean, I've not really thought it through.
what are you prepared to do for a house? Quite a lot. I don't think.
I mean, there might be women that want to donate money.
To
see a roof over my head. I'm willing to work for it.
Yeah.
But I won't do things like nudie dance because, I mean, nothing rude.
No, okay. Nothing rude.
Also, last time I did one of those, it was really, I mean, for my boyfriend, it was really, it was a dangerous disaster. I wasn't breaking hearts.
It was
so much
dangerous.
It was feet and stuff. Okay. Yeah, really bad. So, I mean, there's different things. Like, you could have a Chinese sending telegram.
I don't know if people... Can I pay you not to do that?
Yes.
Yeah.
I can come up with merchandise for you.
Yeah.
Like, okay, so say Chris Martin... wants to donate some money. He likes doing charity stuff.
Yeah. Well, Chris Martin's got a lot of money. He could buy you a house.
He could buy me a house.
Why
hasn't he bought me a house?
What's suspicious.
And then I could like make him some merchandise, like a hat saying, "Oh, my name's Chris Martin and I love partying." Which would also work for someone else called Martin. Is there anyone else? Ricky Martin.
Yeah.
Ricky Martin. Ooh, I like going go-kart. I mean, I've got a brain. Let's use it. So, also, I've got my eye on this house. It's about 650 grand. It's in Gospel Oak. And I've got 18 or 19,000 grand.
Have you? Wow.
Grand.
You got 18,000, 19,000 grand. It's good.
So it's not like I'm not doing anything.
Yeah.
So people can top that up.
Yeah. How can they do this? Where can they send the money
to? Well, just like...
Why am I the man?
Why the money?
Just email.
Well, you can email herring@foobarradio.com.
You must pass it on and don't get jealous.
I might siphon off a little bit of it for myself.
No, because then you forward it on to me and I get back in touch and I'll say, okay, what do I have to do? And then I'll say, okay. I won't do nothing nudie. And and I just want a house. Maybe I can.
If they got a lot of money, if someone said, I'll give you £100,000, though, would you,
that's
go, would
not
you take your top off for that?
No.
What?
I'd take one sock off.
One sock off. I'm not sure. There probably are people who would pay for that. Some people really like feet.
Yeah.
So,
exactly.
You know, if you're.
I let them kiss my feet.
Wow. Well, you know.
That's something,
I'm
isn't
not,
it?
It is something. I'm not sure I really wholly approve of this.
No, it's taken a turn
section.
For the worse.
It has, yeah.
It's taken a turn. No, but I could. My name's Chris Martin and I have parts in. I'm designing him a hat, for God's sakes. What more? When he gives money to children in Africa, they don't do that, do they?
They don't, no.
So, okay,
they
thanks,
don't,
guys.
Yeah. Well, okay, well, that is by Lua House. I'll play the jingle again. Just because I can't quite believe it.
Lua House.
Yeah,
we might not do that feature again.
It was well thought out. That's what I liked. But if I felt slightly for a second like just some mad person who worked off the street and said, yeah, gonna ask. But, you know, it might work. You never know the power of radio. People might.
But someone might be dying.
Yeah, they could leave it to you in the will.
Someone might be dying and I could maybe be their friend and make them some milkshakes before the big day.
And then when they die, you just get the body out, tip the body out of the bed. Now I live here.
Have a clean around and then there's a new cat in town.
Okay.
There's possibilities.
There are. The possibilities do end. They end the possibilities for that one. We'll move on with some music. This is Warpaint and Undertow. We've still got... I can't remember. It feels like we've been here forever. I think there's still about 15 or 20 minutes left. We'll come back with some more stuff. Like, I think there's going to be more from Take a Book. That was good.
Well, that's news to me. News time.
There's more news just in from Lou Sanders.
No, I haven't got no news.
No, what was the thing about the...
Oh, I was going to do my book.
I see. All right, well, hold on. We'll do a different one. As I asked you what it was. Now, all right, first
now
of
you
all,
look like the egg
first
place.
Of all...
Hey, it's just our first day.
I honestly thought we'd use that a lot more. Okay, well, instead, let's go over to Lou for Take a Book. Oh, I need to press wrong.
Take a Book.
Nice. Nicely done.
Thank you.
Me. Okay, this one's called Ian Was a Rasta Man. Just a short story for everyone to enjoy. Ian was a Rasta man, born as sweetbread. Rasta all of the way. Rasta hat. Don't put your hand in your head in your hand.
My finger on the microphone.
Shut up.
To take you out.
Don't, you'll ruin the mood. Okay. Rasta hat and hair, of course, naturally, and Rastafarian outlook. Favourite colours, red, yellow and the other one. Favourite outlook, laid back and cool. But Ian worked for the Inland Revenue and wasn't allowed dreadlocks or even to play any music in the office. Not even Desmond Decker. He's very mild. So he just forgot about his roots, his reggae roots, and climbed up the business ladder, marrying a man called Stephen in another department. He still eats plantain every now and again, and him and Stephen made his lovely... It's not as good as the other one.
It is. You've got to
just commit to it, right? You've
got to commit, yeah. And speak so we can hear it rather than laughing over the top.
Oh, you've been speaking to my mother. He still eats plantain every now and again, and him and Stephen made some lovely plantain crisps one Easter. He's perfectly happy, and all of our priorities change as we get older, of course. He would only need to visit Jamaica for a month, and all those skills and good vibes would come flooding back. But he can't see that happening. They need a new boiler.
Good, thank you very much. That was Take a Book. Is it?
I was more...
Take a Book.
That's what that was.
I was more laughing at your face because it was in complete despair.
Well, no, it's, you know, it's nice. So the idea is these are like the openings of books that you will go on to write. If anyone likes them, a publisher hears these.
Yeah, sure.
You'll go and finish off the book for
anyone
them.
Anyone from HarperCollins wants to get in touch.
It's a great start. Well, thank you to everyone who has emailed and tweeted in. You can tweet me at herring1967 during the week. If you have any what things you've done for the first time, do get in touch with them. We might read them on the next show. There will be another question to ask you on the next show. You can also email me at herring@fubarradio.com. fubar.com. This comes from someone who doesn't want their name given out. He says Phil, I think, but it isn't his real name. For reasons that will become clear, I wish to remain anonymous to protect my identity. It's about the third or fourth one of these. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you'd think they'd be worse than they are. I know that sometimes they have to give a name but then say it's not a real name, so I don't know really why they bother. So if you have a similar bureaucracy, then call me anything. In fact, if you called me Phil, then told everyone it wasn't my real name, it would throw everyone off the scent. I may have changed that name. I might not have done. It's a meta joke. I started this month putting googly eyes on things around the house, then denying it when challenged by my girlfriend. It sounds simple. It may even sound sad, but it's liberating. It's bringing my house to life. I'm 2 weeks in. It's hugely entertaining. I attach pictures of my pepper grinder and a melon in my fridge. We can maybe put those on the website. She's not seen the melon yet. I was just thinking you might be looking to use these pictures as publicity. So in that case, could you use the redacted versions of these pictures also attached? Again, I don't want her to put two and two together, get four, and realise it was me all along. I think she will realise if she sees a melon with googly eyes, that how many times around the country do you think that's happening? So I think the fact that you've revealed that has ruined that. Have you got any others? Have you got any more of those?
Not got nothing.
Nothing?
Well, I threw them away because I thought it's the end of the show.
Well, isn't there 3 minutes, 15 seconds to go?
How are we going
to
fill that? Not another short story.
There's a lot of dead air. Well, we haven't done... Have you got something prepared for they said what, who said what,
yes,
did they say?
I have.
Well, I've been waiting all show to do that.
Play the bloody jingle, mate.
Let's play that again.
What did they say? Who said that and who are they?
This is in a Lou heavy end to the show. This is another feature from Lou. You know, we never know what we're going to get. It could be some casual racism, a sort of nervous breakdown.
Ian was a rusted man. So I say a quote that someone has said, a celebrity, someone known to you in the celebrity world, and you have to guess who it is.
Okay.
It's quite a hard game, actually, if you think how many celebrities there are.
There are a lot of celebrities, and, you know, I would have to know that they'd said it.
Yeah, exactly. But you can guess, and I can say clues like, politician. Okay. Would you put that in celebrity? Anyway, politicians and celebrities.
Politicians are celebrities these days, eh? The way things are going.
Yeah. Tell me about it, yeah?
Yeah.
Well, you've got a book out or something? Yeah. I have. Once I've got it. Anyway, right, so this is a quote. Here it is. Okay. And I do it in the voice. Maybe I do it in the voice. That will give you more of a clue.
Yeah, it could be an impression, as long as they're not Chinese or anything, because I don't want to see that just at the end of the show.
No, how I feel about the Chinese. Okay. I'll do it in what I think she sounds like. I've given you another clue, gender.
Okay, she.
So, where's Cannes Film Festival being held this year?
That's good. So, they don't realise that is in Cannes. Is it Madonna? It sounded like Marilyn Monroe, but, you know, she's dead.
No, actually, I had to give it a different voice. So, where's Cannes Film? No. So, where's Cannes? It's going to be harder with the accent, if I'm honest. American.
She's American. Is it Gina Davies?
No.
Is it Madonna?
No.
I've said that already.
He knows two American women.
Is it Gina Davis again? Is it Susan Sarandon?
Yes, it's Gina Davis. No.
I give in.
You big idiot, it's Christina Aguilera.
Yeah.
Okay, one more?
Got that. Yeah, if you've got, as long as it doesn't take too long. I'm not saying this is filler for the end of the show.
Okay.
This, if anything, is the climax of the show. We haven't just put this in because we've run out of stuff to do.
This is the headline feature.
It is. We've been planning this all day.
Fiction is great writing. You can make almost anything up.
Is it Lou Sanders?
No, I nearly read out the name.
That would ruin the game
a
little bit.
Bloody idiot. Right,
It's a woman.
It's a woman. I don't know where she's from, actually. Let me just Google her and I will. I'll give you some more clues.
We're 38 seconds away from the end of the show.
Okay.
We can leave it hanging over there for the listeners.
Okay, here we go. I hope we don't hear the Trump of success.
Is it Ivana Trump? Okay. It was a good clue. It really helped us. Well, I hope you've enjoyed our first show for FUBAR with me, Richard Herring, and Lou Sanders. Luli, she likes to be called. Thank you very much to our guest, Danielle Ward, who was lovely.
Lovely.
Seems like a long time ago she was here. We'll be back next week at the same time, listening to all the other shows, including that one with that secret guy in it now that I'm not allowed to say. Thanks, bye.
Bye.